This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. The UK's first ever hip-hop talk show with Sarah Love and Mice Diggy.
Yo, what's up, yo? This is the Wallaby Kingpin. You know what I mean? It's all good. We out here in the Big L. That's London, baby. I'm coming from Shaolin, New York. Wu-Tang Clan. This is Ghostface Killer right now. I'm shouting out my homegirl, Sarah Love, and Mike Diggy. Mike's Diggy, you know what I mean? Y'all know what it is. Right here at the Food Bar. Food Bar. You know what I'm saying? You know, I got to get my words right. I just came off stage. I'm kind of twisted right now. At the Food Bar, y'all. No doubt, Sarah Love. What's up, honey? You know what it is. Tell these niggas. One.
Wow, man. We got Ghostface shout outs. We got Pharrell Munch shout outs. Raekwon shout outs. This is the hip hop show right here.
That's
with
how we
DJ Sarah Love and myself, Mice Diggy. How you doing, mother lovers out there?
I'm doing fantastic and not well, first of all. Most importantly, let's say a big thank you to Ian Bolesworth.
Yep.
He's been looking after you for the last 2 hours. Remember, all of the FUBAR shows are on the website to listen back to. And last week on this show, wow, what a treat. We had Ransom Bad Bones, one of my favourite MCs in the UK. He performed live in the studio,
yeah, man,
and we
fire.
Had a Bananas open mic. That open mic has some real energy to it, man.
Ooh,
so
that
if
open
you
mic
miss
was
that,
crazy,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah. So if you missed that, seriously, hit up foodbarradio.com/hiphop. Listen back. You can also go there and flick through all of our past episodes as well, where we've got interviews with people like Chuck D, Big Daddy Kane, all kinds of cats that you need to know about, and all the best hip hop music for you too. So get involved.
Yep, get involved, mother lovers. That's right. hiphop@foodbarradio.com, or you can tweet us at foodbarradio and get a shout out. Let us know you're listening, because you know this show really is about all you bitches and bitchettes out there across the world, across the digital globe. Yeah, I'll see you lot in the digital pub later on as well, mate.
You
know what I mean?
Yes, and coming up onto the show today, wow, more treats galore.
Yes.
You guys really get hip-hop spoil up here, I'm telling you.
Yeah, hip-hop spoil, you hear that?
Hip-hop spoil, like that's the next level of spoil.
Yeah, yeah,
we're going to be joined in the studio by one of my favourite artists of all time to ever come out of the UK.
Ooh.
A proper veteran, Lewis Parker.
That's right.
Like, that's some OG business. He's going to be in the studio live with us later on. We also have Mark Griss joining us and Tony D plus good one,
I think,
Jay.
You gotta say it like that. Yeah, I think that's
oh
the,
DMX summon the spirit of DMX.
Now DMX is
Okay.
Grr, you gotta put grr in it.
I think.
Let me check my rapper shout.
Your
rapper sound effect dictionary.
Yeah, yeah. So some of the Don't Flop Massive are gonna be in the place to be,
yeah,
too.
Man.
Of course we've got Maestro's investigation as we do every week. We're gonna bring you a guide to the illest gigs happening in town this week, as well as some open mic fire business, plus new music. Brand new Cy Philly and Black Twang joint.
Woo, serious.
Banging.
Cy Philly and Black Twang collab.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Banging.
Alright. This is why I like this show, man.
You know?
You get all these little gems that you might not never have known nothing about.
And
Jesus.
It's just that straight unapologetic hip hop. That's what I enjoy as well. Got some new Rusty Jux for you as well, which I'm really displeased that I Rusty Jux
nice.
That I stumbled upon this. I'm gonna drop you some Rex as well, and we want to hear from you guys. This show is all about you, so hit us up at hiphop@foodbarradio.com. You can find us on the, what do you call it, Twitter machine? Twitter,
yeah,
box?
On the Twitter machine.
Twitter
mother
machine.
Lovers,
at Foodbar Radio, and you can find Mice on Twitter at Mice Diggy, and
yes.
I'm up there at DJ Sarah Love as well. And we've got a very important big up coming for you right after this brand spanking new business from Children of Zeus State.
Uh-oh.
Straight out of Manchester.
Yes.
And this features the mighty UK legendary status Karen Wheeler. It's FUBAR
wow.
Radio.
phone, I would sell my vinyl collection. Throw them out the window like frisbees from all directions.
Yo, that's peak.
But it's that deep, the pie's that sweet. From playing smoochie in the backseat, I felt that heat. For you alone, I'd probably take a bullet to save her from it. Just for you, I'm on it, giving it to them however they want it. That's a fact too. Isn't her matching tracksuit? Say, yo, I'm that cute. I'll let you take the last draw of the last suit.
For you alone, I cut the keys to my home. I leave you flowers on the note. I wrote the password to my phone. Never ask, never want, forever my one and only. Every picture that you post, I comment 4 or 5 emojis. Trust is deep, even if you think it's casual. I stay awake at night, just so you can sleep diagonal. Beauty meet, that's rough. You and me, that's us. True indeed, what you need, that's love.
You and only for you. Everything I do it all for you.
Smooth right there, boy.
I love Karen Wheeler. Like, yeah. I think she's such a G, man, and I'm just so happy to hear her again. That's featuring on the Children of Zeus cut, You Alone remix, that is. And that's actually available for free download, so go check the guys out there on Twitter at Pickney of Zeus. You're locked into FUBAR Radio with myself, Sarah Love.
And myself, Mice Diggy, a.k.a. the voice of Chocolate Velvet Cake, all in your ear canal. I was about to say your retina, but yeah, you lot can't see shit, innit? You're blind bats right now.
You can imagine.
As long as you can hear, though, that's all that matters, my beloveds.
And we like to set the show off. Oh my gosh, we've got so much to fit in, and we always run out to play everything on the show, don't we? And, you know, we like to start the show off on a positive tip and remind people how many things there are to feel good about and grateful for and just inspired by, you know, because I think it's easy for us to all get bogged down with the madness that's going on in the news and the fact the pound is worth like 2p now and all that kind of thing.
Ooh, but that's not even good.
I know everyone
that,
just suddenly went and sunk into depression, me saying that, didn't they? But no, really, I truly think I'm never ceased to be amazed by how many great things are going on in the world. First of all, I want to send a very special
big up
to all the listeners of the show. Because all you low-key people locked in every week. Devon, big up to you. DJ Mad, nice shout out to you guys. You can hit us up in the studio, hiphop@foodbarradio.com. We love hearing from you. And this show is all about you. And do you know what, Mize?
What's that?
I've got to send a little...
Big up!
To who?
Well, this is a kind of 2 weeks in advance, but it's going to be our one-year anniversary, Mize.
Yeah. Is it? Oh, yeah, I thought it'd already gone for some reason. I was like,
no.
Has it gone already?
Yeah, wow. So I think we're going to have to. No, it's the first week of November, so I think we're going to have to put some special plans together.
We're
going
to have to do a special, you know?
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to get the staff open mic thing going
on.
Yeah,
but actually, the food bar open mic battle popping. Yeah, Adamantium versus Ian Boldsworthy. And getting Nat in as well on the game too.
Nat. What was your rap name again? Nat's got a rap name.
Don't mess with Nat. Automatic.
Ooh. She looked serious as well, saying
she
that.
Was, she
looked at that face, was like, I want bars, fam.
You don't want no trouble.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
yes, you know, first week of November.
Yeah, we're going to have to, you lot might have to get tips. We got some battle rappers coming in later on, you know. Obviously, you don't have to go at each other, but just in case.
Work it out. But, you know, we like to begin with, like, those positive vibes. And, you know, October, I always forget, it's Black History Month.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I was actually, I was at Superdrugs yesterday, No, was it yesterday? No, it wasn't yesterday.
So, I thought about it. It was on Thursday. Yeah,
it was on Thursday. Yeah. Like, shout out to Superdrugs, first of all, for like being one of the first places I ever went to get this shit. But to celebrate Black History Month, I was going to bring everyone different like moisturizers that black people have used, you know, over the years since... Obviously.
I want coconut oil.
So, yeah.
Like
I mean, yeah,
from
but
the
that,
Tongan
see,
Olympic
I'm
team.
Talking about back in the like Astral. Okay. I was going to bring Astral. Right.
Well, no,
celebrate
standard
Black History
number
Month.
One, it's got to be Vaseline.
Yeah, Vaseline. I see, I thought you was going to say cocoa butter.
There ain't a black
family. Yeah, before, I mean, the first thing I ever saw was probably Johnson & Johnson, babies Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because, you know, I was a kid, innit? So, you know, your mum don't want to get, you know, like, you have to upgrade to Astral and...
the designer brand.
Yeah, Vaseline. And then obviously cocoa butter is like probably when you're of age.
Yeah.
Like when you deserve to walk around smelling like a coconut. You know, like fake coconut, but it still smelled like that. So I was going to do that.
That's the gentrification of Vaseline is the
I wasn't
cocoa
sure. Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. And but then I wasn't sure whether we were going to support just 1 month of black history. But seeing as these are like eras of history, you know, especially like the black evolution in the European state, you know, is like, okay, moisturizer is probably the one thing people need to know about black history that they probably don't know.
Yeah, let's start. 101, yeah. The most important things. I mean, today, yeah, so let's send a
big up
to Vaseline in Black History Month. You know, I was going to send a big up to Marcus Garvey, but you know, you just trumped me with the Vaseline.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
see, I didn't know you were getting there, but yeah, yeah.
You know, but there's so many, because I was thinking to myself, gosh, why do you even begin with something like Black History? First of all, there's loads of really interesting stuff happening throughout the month. Like in London, if you go and research it out, but there's incredible quotes from great black leaders like Marcus Garvey, where a quote from him that I love is, "A people without the knowledge of their past history, origin, and culture is like a tree without roots."
Mm.
Word,
you've heard that
up.
Used many a time, man. It's very true.
Yes, and very Nelson true. Mandela, "It always seems impossible until it's done."
Woo!
Pow! And he also said, "Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world."
Powerful, Nelson Mandela.
I'm loving it. Also, I want to send a shout out to Mary Seacole. She was a Jamaican woman who was she set up a British hotel behind the lines during the Crimean War. She's basically like a Jamaican version of Florence Nightingale, and she did some incredible, incredible things in the 1800s. And in 2004, she was voted the greatest Black Briton. And wow. I mean, there's just all just when you go and check out her autobiography, "Wonderful Adventures of Mrs. Seacole," it's just incredible. Some of the stuff she did. It's one of the earliest autobiographies of a mixed race woman as well. Her statue stands at St. Thomas's Hospital in London, and it describes her as a pioneer nurse. But yeah, there was kind of controversy that came with when that statue went up, with people sort of wanting to remove her from the UK's national curriculum and all of that stuff. So, but Mary Seacole, if you don't know about her, she's definitely one of these undersung OGs who was sort of erased from history for about 100 years. As people bigged up Florence Nightingale. But she's incredible black woman, British woman. Former footballer Howard Gale. See, we're spanning from Marcus Garvey, wow. Mary Seacole, Howard Gale. Do you know about Howard Gale?
That's so you basically have gone from like, you know, Vaseline,
Vaseline
to the cocoa butter level. There's another level though, the
well,
Neil's Yard lot.
I don't know if this is cocoa butter Yard. Level because this is sort of like 70s, 80s.
Okay.
So that's sort of cocoa butter, the coconut oil, that's definitely post, that's the millennials, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, that's the yeah, hey, Sarah asking for coconut oil. Now I've heard coconut oil works wonders in there.
But I was raised on Vaseline.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so Howard Gale, I think that was, and I'm an actual 80s baby. Yeah, so yeah, I think Howard Gale, he's still of the Vaseline era.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Yeah, man. But Howard Gale, he was the first black player to turn out for Liverpool. And he recently turned down the MBE because he said his ancestors would be turning in their graves if he accepted it. And he was offered this, the MBE, which is the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire. And he was offered it for not only being like the first black player to play for Liverpool, but also his work with the Show Races and the Red Card campaign. He's from Toxteth in Liverpool. He debuted with the team in 1977. On his Facebook page, when he turned down the offer of the awards, this is what dude had to say. He said, "Most of you who are on my FB page are aware of my work that I'm doing tackling racism and the work I do for Show Racism a Red Card. And for that work yesterday, I was nominated for an MBE, which unfortunately I had to decline the nomination for the reason that my ancestors would be turning in their graves after how empire and colonialism had enslaved them. This is a decision that I have had to take, and there will be others who may feel different and would enjoy the attraction of being a member of the British Empire and those three letters after their name, but I feel that it would be a betrayal to all the Africans who have lost their lives or have suffered as a result of empire." So I just think, seriously, because it is tempting to take that stuff. You know, there's loads of incredible people who rejected the MBE as well. People like the great artist Lowry, David Bowie, John Lennon. He returned his MBE in protest against the Vietnam and Biafra wars. Danny Boyle, the director, Stephen Hawking, he turned them down. Aldous Huxley, Roald Dahl. Of course, our homie, John Z. D., he turned it down. Yeah. And our favourite, Benjamin Zephaniah. The poet in you remember how much I love him.
Said our favourite as well.
You know what? I'm a bit vexed with Cy Philly. He did a video with Benjamin Zephaniah. How did he not invite me to the video?
Wow.
Anyway, I still love him. I'm going to play that new Cy Philly joint for you later in the show still. But Benjamin Zephaniah, he said, "I get angry when I hear the word empire. It reminds me of slavery. It reminds me of thousands of years of brutality. It reminds me of how my foremothers were raped and my forefathers were brutalized."
I'd like to ask him how, because it's funny, I was speaking to someone just the other day about people celebrating, you know, around the world, most Commonwealth countries celebrating their independence. You know, like, I don't know what it is, but it kind of bugs me because you look at the country and you think, well, they're still not really independent. They might, it might be under the tag, you know, air quote, independence, but really and truly, they're not. You know, so should they be celebrating it like that? Because it seems to be a bit of an illusion.
Well, I mean, let's go back to another Marcus Garvey quote where he says, "Liberate the minds of men and ultimately you'll liberate the bodies of men." You know, so it's like, and also Marcus Garvey, that quote that Bob Marley used in his song, Redemption Song, "Emancipate yourself from mental slavery." You know, so it's like, it's one thing us on paper being independent, all these countries and things, but, you know, there's a whole other process of undoing our colonial past. It's not about undoing it completely, but, you know, at least recognising the truth of our histories.
You know, there's a bit of repair that needs to be made,
Repair, reconciliation.
Yeah, that's what bugs me about it. That's what makes me feel a bit like, man, you're kind of over-sensationalising this whole celebration of quote unquote independence. You know, are you really independent?
I mean, also, it's kind of deep when you just think still the people who were benefiting from like how all the money they made during colonialism and during slavery. Like, there's a reason why we've got all this incredible art at the Tate Gallery.
Talk to them, Sarah Love.
At the Tate Gallery in London and Tate Modern and stuff. And so for them to make it free to get in, it's like that's the least you can do is share this with the public without charging them for it. Because the whole reason you own that stuff is off all of the money you made out
Should
of
you
the,
still
on
own
the plantation, sugar plantations in the Caribbean and across the world, which were all operated by slaves. This week, on the 19th and 20th, at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, they're doing a screening of
The London School of Hygiene
and Tropical Medicine. It's a fantastic place, where there's a lot of really cool people there doing research across the globe in the tropics, across Africa and things, in the medical field. But yeah, they're doing it as part of Black History Month. They're doing a special screening on the 19th and 20th of Britain's Forgotten Slave Owners, and that was the David Olusanga documentary that was on BBC a little while ago. But that was really, really dope. So, you know, if you think that we're just being haters or whatever, just definitely go check that out. And you can even search your own family name to see what your connections are to slavery and things. But, you know, there's a lot of cool
any
stuff.
Any name. African name. So if I type African name. Any name, yeah, it doesn't like.
No, well, I mean, I guess
things,
you could.
I always wonder, should I? But then I think, yeah, but it's probably like European name, so why am I going to do that?
I wonder though. Well, and that's the thing. That's another misconception, isn't it? Because slavery didn't begin. It wasn't just Europeans enslaving other people.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
And then also, I think it's important to realize that Black history isn't just about slavery. Like, you know, we have such an extensive Black history that goes back. Okay, let's. If you really want to get deep with it, goes back 2 million years. Where that is where the original human being.
I don't know anyone
being.
Who can remember that far back. So we'll have to.
No, but we have evidence, and that's the other thing. You know, I'm all up for everyone having their own beliefs of the origins of man. But you know, when it actually comes down to physical evidence,
we can show that
you know the earliest evidence of human beings, Homo sapiens, is in Ethiopia and the mitochondrial Eve. Like every human being on Earth, you can trace back to a single woman in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
So you know, there's a whole lot of different subjects that Black history spans. But you know, I just thought let's shout out a couple cool people this week for you. Coming up, we're gonna have a guest, Lewis Parker, stepping into the studio. I can't wait to see him. And yeah, I got a special classic cut from him as well to play you guys. To hit us up, hip hop at
Foodbar. Hit her voice, bro.
I know. Honestly, I'm such a fan, and I love being a fan. Like, I think it's great to be a fan of the music too.
When you do famous ass shit, it's even better because you get to do famous ass fan shit.
But then you try to like not act like too much of a fangirl and just be like, I'm a reasonable, acceptable.
That's
person.
Why you don't have an Instagram because you know too many people be hating, and then that's it.
You hit me like, hey, you need to take those pictures down. No, but get in touch with us in the studio, hiphop@foodbarradio.com, and I thought it was only correct, Mice, that I played this tune because I thought this was going to be a good lead up to the next person who's going to be bum rushing the microphone right up after this. That was Kayo Itachi and Rusty Jukes. Rooster. And the song's called Rooster's Comet. That's on the album Meteorite, which is out right now. And yeah, like I say, I was sending that one out to the one of our favourite guys, where I always look forward to seeing him on the show.
And who might that be? Oh, y'all know, mother lovers, that's right. It is the one and only. Here to welcome y'all down to the Fubar Radio Cafe.
Yeah.
That's right. I go by the name of Mysack Hayes, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Mysack Hayes, man. You know what I'm saying?
Mysack.
And I'm a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Hey, I was about to say lover. Yeah. Yeah. We got an investigation for all of y'all mother lovers out there. You're damn right. I enjoy that too much, man. Just imagine one day I woke up and that's it. That's the only way I spoke. Would you not still have me on the show? That's all I'm going to say. I'm about to go toilet right now, you know what I'm saying? Because I really need a dump. I had an Indian yesterday and that chick got my guts feeling like Niagara Falls. You're damn right. Are you going to be back in a minute? You're damn right. Anyway.
I need to get your make a documentary just following you around. No, but you know those people who wake up and I could speak Spanish.
Yeah. What is that about, man?
That's next week's investigation.
Yeah. Right? Is that for real?
I don't know, man.
Like, and you've never spoken before. You never even really heard it before. All of a sudden, you're fluent in Icelandic or some shit.
I know, but that's why I wonder, that really, are they just fluent in Icelandic? Yeah. And they're like, I just want to get some attention. I know. Let me just hold this down for, like, years that I can speak Icelandic. And then tomorrow is the time. Anyway.
Yo. That's hilarious.
Sorry, we digress.
Yes, we digress. And we are here to investigate today, my beloveds. We want to find out from all our listeners out there. It's about growing up. You know, I got some friends where I realised that they haven't reached that point where it's like, okay, I'm a grown-up now. You know what I mean? They're still out there. You know, just right. I ain't even going to throw them out there like that, but just doing shit that kids do. By the time you're 18... you probably might have, you know, stopped, like, hanging outside the off-license.
Oh, right, okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, okay. All this little kid shit, still on the estate, still talking about, yeah, when I make it, and you don't even know what you're going to make yet. You know what I mean? Like, that hood mentality. And it made me I was like, right, when did I realise it's time to move on? It's time to now become an adult.
I know.
You know, the first time I could realise that was... I'm going to tell this story. You lot might think it's kind of weird, but
okay.
It's the time when I thought, maybe I'm an adult now.
Aww.
My nipples were hurting.
I think
I was about 11 or 12.
I wasn't expecting you to say all the story with that.
I was about 11
now
or 12.
Now you got my attention.
Yeah. And my nipples were hurting. I was like, wow, what's going on here? And I said to my mum, I was like, yeah, mum, my nipples are hurting. They feel heavier and all that.
Aww.
She was like, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I was like, okay.
Get the Vaseline.
Yeah, I'm going to go. That didn't work. Vaseline didn't work. Deep heat didn't work. That hurt, but it didn't really work. It's actually kind of
Vicks.
Weird, like, thin line between love and pain. Kind of.
Yeah.
But then we was like, okay, let's go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor.
Mm-mm.
And imagine this. You know, like I said, I think I was about 11 or 12 or something.
Oh.
And the doctor, he's like, he squeezed my nipples. Dr. Dad, his name was. Squeezed my nipples. I was like, right. And then he sat down. He's like, Mr. Kevin.
What are you doing later?
No. I'm glad he didn't. But he said, you're turning into a woman.
A woman?
Yeah. That's exactly the voice in my head. I went, a woman? Like that. And it echoed. And then back then, you know, you used to, like, there was crazy Sunday magazines. It would be like the hairiest, you know, the hairy little kids or the snakeskin kids.
The man
and
I pictured, hair on his palms.
Yeah, I pictured kid who turns into a woman. Like, I was next with my hard nipples. Bare back on the front cover. This all happened in, like, you know, it's like a 5 second, shoot.
Yeah.
And then he started laughing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he
that's
goes, no.
Up.
And he went, no, you're becoming an adult. Like that. I was like,
look at him just messing with
yeah,
people.
Yeah, that fucked with me, though, man.
Make his day entertaining.
For those 5 seconds, isn't I nearly it? Committed suicide.
Oh, my God. You were questioning what life was all about.
Yo, the shit messed me up. But anyway... So this is why this week's investigation is, what were some defining moments that confirmed you had now become an adult?
Mm.
Defining moments.
Mm.
So when you're like, okay, shit. You know, like, if you think about when you weren't getting ID'd to buy alcohol anymore or something like that. You're like, yeah.
I was quite proud to get ID'd this year on my birthday. I was like,
on your birthday?
Fantastic.
Somebody set that shit up. On your birthday, they did it as well. No, I'm joking.
Jokes, honest.
Semi-joke. So what are defining moments for you then?
Today I was chaperoned to the studio by the apple of my eye, the love of my life.
Chaperoned
to the studio by one of the greatest men on earth. My nephew! He's in the studio with us. He's 19 years. Yes! He's 19 years old, Kieran. So I think maybe it's only right today we use my alias, Auntie Sarah. For the rest of the show.
Auntie Sarah. All right, Auntie Sarah.
Yeah. And so maybe like having the auntie duties and responsibilities. Although I've been an auntie since I was 5 years old. So I can't say that I'm qualified for feeling like an adult when I was five.
Right, but maybe. If someone's calling you auntie at, you know, 6, 7 years old, then you can kind of feel like an adult, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Other people will be like, what?
But then also I was thinking, I guess it's the age when you have responsibilities and you got to do everything yourself. You're washing, do the dishes. And there's like, oh, no, I was washing the dishes when I needed a stool to stand on so I could reach the taps. And that was primary school. I was doing my own washing when I was in primary school. No, that doesn't count. My parents neglected us. But, no, they were wonderful. No, I guess... Once you're... There's so many different ones.
There are. There are many different ones. There are times when, when you first get into a club, but it's like over 18s or something, but you get in.
Uh-oh.
Then you feel like, I look like I'm over 18 still. You think you become an adult then, I guess.
I know. See, all of these things, I'm realising I was so far from an adult when I was doing this stuff. Like, how messed up has my life been?
Hit us up at Fubar Radio on the Twitter or at MySliggy or at DJ Sarah Love. Or you can email us, hiphop@fubarradio.com. What were some defining moments that confirmed you had now become an adult? I got some answers down at the Digital Pub because, you know what I mean? Like, turn into Dave Spade, you know what I mean? Got to hang out with the fellas. Dave Pike says, paying rent for the first time, getting your first tax rebate, going to your first over 21s, over 21s, you know?
That's proper adult. Yeah, you then when it's over 25s.
I was straight up to over 18s, boy. Let me get in there early. And that first time being arrested, where they no longer inform your parents.
Arrested, damn.
Inform your parents. That is hilarious, boy. I know what he's talking about.
Being arrested.
Yeah, after the age of 18, basically, they had to, like, you know, you're an adult now.
Okay, so they don't need to call anybody.
Yeah, they didn't need to call anybody. But before then,
they can just rough you up without letting anyone know.
Well, they'll call your parents. When you're, because your class is a you, basically.
You're a you.
And so they, you know, you need an adult to come and. But a lot of us just used to have, you know, friend's older brother, call him dad for 24 hours. You know what I mean? Get you out of the dick, like, you all right there. Who else have we got? I remember a time, I did comment on this as well because I wanted people to understand there's so many different ways. But I remember I was about 14 or 15, walking to probably the bus stop or tube station, and a woman was with her daughter, and she looked up and then went, like the daughter went, no, man. Like
that.
And then the mum went, no, look out, mind out the way, baby, let the man walk past. And I was like looking around thinking, oh shit, they're talking about me. I was like, damn, I'm a man. Come on with it. Shout out to G-Bag. G-Bag says, when I was officially classed as one of the mandem. That's what that is a defining moment, though. It's like getting jumped in, isn't it?
Now you're one of the mandem.
Yeah, now you're one of the mandem.
It's official.
Shout out to Greg Blackman. He's always got something interesting. He says, when I could handle bigger blows to my ego and sense of self, that my dad, without dissolving into the petulant little bitch he was every time anyone challenged him on anything.
That was kind of like shots also.
Yeah, that was an angry one right there. He said, sorry, probably wasn't the giggle folks were hoping for, but it's the truth.
Yeah, and I needed to vent that.
And you can't handle the truth. Danny Seaton says, I'm still waiting for that to happen. He's a grown-ass man, but he's still
good
waiting
for him. No, because I was saying to my niece the other day, who's 12, I was like, being 12 is fantastic. Like, enjoy
that
every day of being 12, because you've only got 365 days of that. And it's so dope to be 12. You don't need to be wishing your life away and wishing that you're older. enjoy being 19. My nephew Kieran, who's in the studio, 19 is wicked.
Enjoy
every
not
age
having too many responsibilities, because when they come, you're going to appreciate all the times you had to sweep the whole
reminisce.
House.
You're going to reminisce. Yeah.
On the floor, get beat by the wooden spoon. And when you had to go to Sainsbury's on your own and carry all those shopping bags on your...
Did we tap into something?
Let's just move on to that.
No, but I think... so I rate the people who are still childlike. And they're basking in the... They're holding on to that youth. That's a feeling in your heart.
I think it's important, man. I think once you start getting to that point where you feel like,
miserable old git.
Yeah. And that's going to make you feel even older than you. You're as young as you feel, you know?
You're damn right.
So sponsored by cocoa butter.
But first, by Vaseline. So hit us up in the studio on hiphop@foodbarradio.com. Right up after this, we have the man, the OG with the golden sounds, Lewis Parker, is going to be stepping into the studio, so don't move a muscle. But first, something brand new and exclusive from Cy Philly featuring Black Twang.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me. I get rowdy on the mic. They don't build them like me. I'm like Gaudi on the mic. Architect, visionary with foresight. Before Christ, the future is a sight for sore eyes. While the globe rotates on its axis, the rich hide wealth and still lie about the taxes. Still practice crafty corrupt tactics. Still factories shut down for these factors. Recommences when I have you like Shakespeare. Dodgy handshakes and they're dabbing like the dancers. Ask questions, they ain't coming with any answers. They give us no choice and got rid of Jenny Francis. That's me, I spit the truth like I've got a list. The greatest trick was convincing you they do not exist. We live amongst cunts and monsters who hunts the hunters. And terrorism, government sponsored facts. We got evidence on the president's changes coming. I'm setting precedence from intelligent raps. This is that medicine like Benadryl. If you got the light but ain't shedding it, then you're negative.
Is that you? Black Twang, is that you? Is that you?
Are you?
Yo, South Philly, is that you? Is that you?
Tell him,
Black Twang, is that you? Is that you?
What?
Yo, South Philly, is that you? Is that you?
Who that?
Black Twang, is that you? Is that you?
That's me.
Yo, South Philly, is that you? Is that you?
South Philly.
Black Twang, is that you? Is that you? Yo, South Philly, just one
thing, is that you? Philly spit lyrics and slaps you. Summon producer leaving you as stiff as a statue. I catch you, do my best to more than just match you. Spit the sickest delivery, I rap and dispatch you. I'm mad blessed, be the only rapper that stands left. I stamp on heads just like I'm terror from Grand Theft. I gave crashing party with bad guests. I came to spit bars, yo, you better bank on it like Nat West. Shinobi, the shot clock killer just like I'm Kobe. So Flash should be in need of Adobe to even know me. Listen homie, it's more than just your average rap. Me and the man Black Twang have lost a savage attack. Hey yo, I'm old school like a pair of gazelles preparing for hell. Wizards to be scared of my spells, I'm spellbinding. Spitting all these lines that are blinding. I dazzle all the masses when I shine like a diamond. This is Simon, born back in 74. I'm ready for war from when I come and step in the door. The rap Rambo, here to break it down like a Kango. Rocking the bells like I'm Cool J in the Kango. I rock chains just like I'm Django. Fist in the air, I come and spit rap blacker than Sambo. That's true, I get in your skin like a tattoo. Philly and Black Twang got him saying, is that you? Is that you? Black Twang, is that you? Is that you? Are you?
Yo, South Philly, is that you? Is that you?
Tell him,
Black Twang, is that you? Is that you?
What?
Yo, South Philly, is that you? Is that you?
Who that?
Black Twang, is that you? Is that you?
That's me.
Yo, South Philly, is that you? Is that you?
South Philly.
Black Twang, is that you? Is that you? Yo, South Philly, just gone true.
Yeah. That didn't make it onto the 11th Hour album by Cy Philly. It's coming. No, it didn't. It's produced by Richie Spitz. It's released in the next few weeks. You know, you heard it here first.
That's hilarious that it didn't make it to the album that's called The 11th Hour. And he said, okay, maybe not then. Moving on.
So look out for the video as well that's going to be jumping in the next few weeks too. And that album is really dope. 11th Hour Cy Philly right there. You're locked into FUBAR Radio with myself, Sarah Love.
And myself, Mice Diggy, a.k.a. the voice of Chocolate Velvet Cake. And we are joined by...
the man with the golden sound, Mr. Lewis Parker. How you doing, people?
In the building, boy.
You're from.
You got legendary status in here.
Enjoying the grapes.
Yeah, he's got his grapes on.
It's the man with the grapes
the man with the golden grapes, man.
The green grapes. You feel me?
No, everyone will love to hear you eating grapes on air. That's fantastic. Yeah, nice. Lewis, what's been happening? Because a little while ago, Dan from King Underground Records, he was here on the show. What's up, Dan? Dan's in the studio and chilling in the background providing
Big
the grapes.
Big Dan, King Underground, pimping all the artists.
Yeah, all right. So now
he's got that CEO look on him.
CEO, brother. He's got to tell you, try to keep it cool and casual, but this guy, you don't even understand them.
You know when someone's important when they're on their phone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doing shit. For some reason, it always feels like, they got some shit to do.
Yeah, he connecting the dots.
Because you did a project together with King Underground.
Mm. We've done many projects. Few, right? We've been working now since 2010, you know what I'm saying? I stepped to Dan with an album when he was actually before that doing online vinyl sales. That's what he was specializing in, you feel me? Mm. So he was just selling all the dope hip hop wax online online record store, you know, and putting on shows and doing a lot, you know. And I've been seeing his grind for a minute at that point, and I thought, yo, he in a position, you know what I'm saying, that would be dope if he was a label as well. So I went to him with the proposition. I got this Big Game album, been trying to get it situated for a few years now. Mm. It came out digitally, but no physical wax. It would be lovely to put this on vinyl.
And your shit what should you be saying? On vinyl as well.
Every time it's got I only like dealing with vinyl, you know what I'm saying? So I stepped to Dan. I knew he felt the same way about records, and I knew he was into my shit. So we put our heads together, and that was the first official King Underground release in 2010 was the Big Game. And it's been onwards and upwards since then. And since then, you know, he's stepped King Underground Records up to a whole next level. You know what I mean? Because he got all kind of artists dealing with international acts from the States all the way to Norway to we got two beat makers in Russia. Big up my man DJ Bora.
Oh yeah, you played some of his
and
stuff.
And Vital coming out next, you know what I mean? And these guys are from Russia, and they got the real hit you in the head boom bap beats for real, you know what I mean? And these is Russian dudes, you know what I mean? So Dan connected the dots on a worldwide level, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that's really nice.
Yeah, no, it's lovely. And I respect and appreciate people like Dan so much who do all that hard work to actually get the music from Lewis's SP to our ears, you know, because there's
you got to give me a lot of credit for that.
No, well, look, I was trying to segue smooth. Yeah, I am Segue Sarah. Yeah. Also, so that's another alias. Right. Auntie Sarah, Segue Sarah.
Auntie Sarah. Okay.
Auntie Segue Sarah today.
Segue Sarah.
No, because I mean, Lewis, with this recent project, it's still very much in that like classic Lewis Parker golden sound vein.
Oh yes, very much, very much.
Do you reckon you're always going to stay in that type of sound?
I think this record here is a little bit different for me, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Even though it's, you know, my records are always going to be, you know, have a lot of dope drum, like drum breaks and drums that really make
it. We ain't gonna We ain't gonna get no 808.
You ain't really gonna catch rap. That from me, you know what I mean? No mumble rap around here.
I wanna hear Lewis Parker
do the clicks and funny whatever 808 weird sounds that don't even sound like a kick and a snare on a my record. Since I've come out, it's always been about the sound of breaks, you know what I mean? Real hip hop to me has always been about digging in the crates, finding the break, you know what I mean, hooking up, rhyming over that shit, you know what I mean? That's always been the essence for me. So for me, when I say I think this record is kind of a progression. You know, how I look at my stuff as well is in years of where I'm getting sounds from and what kind of style I'm trying to aim for. On Release the Stress was a record that, for me, is 1978, 1979. You know what I mean? That's the style, that's the feel of the record.
Mm-hmm.
The whole three records, including the remix, is in that zone. We're just coming into the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that record is, but done in a Lewis Parker style with the chopped up SP drums.
Are you still using the SP?
That's all, you know, that's what I use.
How many SPs have you got running now, Lewis?
I got three SPs, you know what I'm saying?
Can you explain for people who might, might just sound like the SP, they're like, what?
We're speaking
Can you explain?
The EMU SP. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just throwing people up. I thought you were going to start saying
that. Or EMU SP 1200, the two most classic, in my opinion, samplers ever used in hip hop. You know what I mean? Possibly the most pivotal. And I would say, yes, the most pivotal. Because when you look at the majority of real classic hip hop anthems and records, most of them were done with the SP or had the SP. Use it on the drums or sequence or somewhere a part of the beat. You know, is that weighed up with the MPC 60? But I would say the SP kind of whole is the heavyweight.
And what is it about the SP that...
It's the way it sounds. It has a very specific sound to it. It has a very specific swing to how it programs.
But it's incredible when you see how many... off the hook record, like pieces of art have been created on the SP. Yeah, where it's like you have 3 second sample time.
You have 10 on the 1200. The later edition, you have 10 seconds, and on the original 12, you have 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So you haven't got too much to work with, and anyone who's used to working with an SP knows you have to learn how to work in them working about them. Some of the dopest hip hop records that ever came out were done within that time frame. But I will break the silence here or whatever, you know. It's all, when you see a man with an SP and a 950, that usually means he's got most of the sounds in the 950. You feel me? And the drums and the shit that's carrying the beat is most likely in the SP. You feel me?
Wow.
And in the production world, like, really, that is the holy duo, the 950 and the SP.
So what's the 950 now? Because you know...
The 950 is.
But I'm saying for the people who don't know...
The Akai 950 is a rack mount sampler. You can also get the Akai S900, which to me is the dopest sound in Akai, period. The Akai S900.
Okay.
Best Akai you're going to get, especially if you want to do your drums on it. A lot of cats think, you know, a lot of my earlier shit was on the SP. A lot of that shit until about 99, 2000 was on Akais, you know what I'm saying? And the Akai 900 was my favorite to go to for drum sounds. You know what I'm saying? If it wasn't, it would be the 950, if not, you know what I'm saying? So,
because I gotta say, Lewis, like, you know, to me, you're one of the most important producers to come out of this country, full stop.
Well, thank you very much.
It's like, and you have certified classic releases under your belt. Like, to me, a record like Masquerades and Silhouettes, that's, you know, every hip hop fan in the UK, we spoke about Marcus Garvey earlier and the importance of understanding our history and our heritage, where we've come from, to know where you're going, you know, and a record like that, I think it's an important part of the story of hip hop in this country.
Oh, definitely. You know what I mean? I'd agree wholeheartedly. I think, you know, the stuff I did on the first part of my career, in terms of from when I came out with B-Boy Antics, Walking the Sky, then Rise, then to come on to Masquerades and Silhouettes, I think it set a little precedent and kind of changed the scene. I think I even said it last time I was on the radio here, but I kind of think that orchestral hard drums feel that I definitely was predominant in doing in the early 90s influenced a lot of guys to what they were doing, and what I would say became the UK hip hop more of a signature sound, where you would say this is a UK sound.
No doubt.
A lot of that was from me buying charity records and buying, you know, Ray Conniff and Perry Como kind of records, you know what I'm saying, sampling from that kind of shit. I think it opened up doors of possibilities, and people were like, we don't have to sound exactly this. We don't have to be using all the soul samples. And you started to hear a lot more, I don't know, English kind of sounding loops and shit going on in UK rap. You know what I mean? And I think I had a heavy hand in pushing it that way.
Yeah, just
dust
that dirt off your shoulders, man.
No problem.
And,
let me put that trumpet down.
You know what I'm saying, brother? Yeah.
So going back to this, like, the SP, the EMUs, ostriches, you know, all these samplers.
Flamingos.
How did you find out? Like, how, you know, because...
Well, the SP was something that is all... If you are into hip-hop and you're listening to the records and you're with other heads, it's going to start becoming a thing that comes up. Oh, this was done on the SP. Oh, that was done...
By who, though? Because there wasn't no internet then. So, like, who...
How Pete Rock on, you know, and this is your cat getting the SP. You know what I'm saying? And certain little references. People who know in the new. For me, my first... ever straight experience with someone being like, yo, the SP is the shit, is your boy Ben Grimm. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to ask you about Ben Grimm.
So, shouts to Ben Grimm.
Sorry, I don't mean to scare
And Ben
anyone
Grimm, there. You know, I make Ben Grimm from my man Lasala Dolo, who was the co-producer of Champions of Nature. So
Champions of Nature was the crew.
This is about 96 when I was in Camberwell. Dolo lived just around the corner in Camberwell. My boy bumped into him in the laundrette, in the laundrette. And he happened to accidentally be reading the Down Low, which I was on just on the front cover of.
Serious.
My boy went up to him and said, "That's my boy Lewis. I live with him just over here." He goes, "Oh, well, yeah, I make beats, rare. We should link up." My boy's come and told me, cut a long story short, I end up round Dolo's. We get cool. Dolo takes me to Ben Grimm. Ben Grimm was the first cat to load up a 10-second SP 1200 beat in my face and playing it. It was some ill shit, porno beat he did with a bunch of porno samples and some ill drums. And I'm like, yo, that shit is crazy. You know, and I was slightly younger than these cats. But they heard my records and was like, Lewis is on some shit. He's in the right direction. Show him some shit. Now, you know about Ben. Ben had lived in the States for a good 4 or 5 years.
So he got schooled out there. 90s.
He had a store where he went. He was in, I think it was A1 Digging, and he bumped into Finesse. Finesse said, "Yo, come back to the crib."
Lord Finesse,
wow. The man. All right. And if you know about SPs and beats, Lord Finesse is the man. Right. So Ben has been invited by Finesse to go to the crib. Finesse plays him a beat, does a freestyle. You know, Ben is blown away. Finesse drops some jewels on him, like, "Yo, this is how we get the drums to sound like how we get the drums."
Yeah.
And he showed him this secret shit, right? He came back to England calling this shit the trick.
Ben Grimm brought the arc to you, okay, boy. Ben Grimm brought the arc.
He brought it back.
Jesus.
So this is just before Masquerades and Silhouettes dropped. I had the whole thing finished. Anyone knows about Masquerades, there's an earlier version that did get released to promo and it had the cut Casa Forte on it with Super T, which I had to lose that track because I couldn't get the sample clearance for the Concerto Aranez joint that was on there. So that's why I had to do a joint called A Thousand Fragments, you know what I'm saying, for the album. That, and it actually, if you listen to the album, A Thousand Fragments stands out because it sounds slightly different, especially on how I was doing the drums to the rest of the album.
See.
So A Thousand Fragments was after
you got
Ben
the gems dropped on the
schooled me with some gems.
Yeah.
You had to come back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I started chopping up my drums different because of the shit that Ben heard from Finesse.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
The
see what
hip hop
does right
I
there.
I know.
Man. That's amazing.
But
that's
it's also like
story,
that's the
man.
Era of the word of mouth in person. Word of mouth.
And
I
that
mean.
Was before the internet. And this is how we used to learn about hip hop and shit like that before. And it was word of mouth, who you knew, what people would show you. You know, I always have to shout out Mark B because Mark B was also one of the first cats that I was around, you know.
Rest in peace.
That was killing the SP hard body. Like, at that point, I would say Mark was killing the SP harder than anyone in the UK because he was putting out records from, like, 94 from the SP, you know what I mean? And, you know.
Incredible lineage we have in this country. If you missed our show that we did a tribute to Mark B, where we did chat to you as well, we had a whole host of stars, like, chatting about Mark. Definitely listen back to that at foobarradio.com/hip-hop. These are all such important names to know about if you really want to understand your history as a hip-hop head or as a UK music fan. But I want to play the people something for play this release the stress record because I also want to play another joint of yours, Lewis. But first, right. let's drop the beat. But this is out right now, thing. Isn't it? Already,
this is out right now. The pre-order is up. Go to King Underground, www.kingunderground.com for your pre-order. Get the ill single 12 inch. We doing it like this was still the 90s.
The one with the
you know
video,
what I mean?
Right?
Yeah, this is the video joint. You know what I mean?
4th of November.
CEO just said it. Yeah,
so we CEO say in the back with the shotgun pointed at us.
We have to speak to the complaints department. Cracks knuckles.
But this is FUBAR Radio. It's the hip hop show. Myself, Sarah Love, Mice Diggy, and we are joined by the ultra special guest, Lewis Parker. Let's do it.
Word up. Check it out now. Shit is ill, yo. Yes, indeed. And we
still taking it sky high, baby. Sky high, shit is real. To all the people still holding me down. Nah, man. Come on. Check it out now. It's all love, baby. Yo. Yo, check it. Nowadays, shit is ill, just trying to hold your own. To make papes and stay straight in the golden zone. That's why most time I stay alone at the residence. On the DL, in the lab with all the elements. I smoke with Skarma. The phone rings with all the drama. Situation staying lava. Feeling like I need to calm down and relax. But these times is tense and have you stressed to the max. Falling through the gaps. Find yourself in the gutter with the rats. I rock the butter tracks all day. Spit the ill facts, no play. The fly breaks some wax. Get hooked up and stashed away. Racing with time. Straight cash on the mind. Flip the record like a crime. Then cool shorty to recline. Rocks the ill steelo. Steady in the cup with the gems on the D-Lo. Release the stress. Take it to the top side. Don't settle for less. Release the stress. Show them what you got signed. You one of the best. Yo, these days get hectic. Can't find no escape or exit. Snakes on the move, trying to flex on the next shit. And shit is tough as ever, scrambling for cheddar. The family on edge, trying to keep shit together. And every day's a struggle on how to make the next bundle. I love the music, but gonna flip shit like a hustle. Word niggas was wildin' when I was shotting beats on Staten Island. Around the time when that shit was cheating and lying. Time crazy flying. Nowadays, it be feeling like my heart is iron. The shit is wild, ill. Your man's pulled that snake move for real. Man, he be playing for the team, but had his hands in the till. Frozen in suspension. Days of heavy tension. I flip the beat, so I don't fall into a depression. The city keep you caught up. New plans get drawn up when you run in the race of life without taking no shortcuts.
Release the stress. Take it to the top side, don't settle for less. Release the stress. Show them what you got signed, you one of the best. Release the stress. Life is mad wild, that's why I make this smoke test. Release the stress. Expect the real deal, forget it all.
And yo, it's everyday pressure, trying to go the whole measure. I hold it down and always plan the next venture. And these haters can't see me, but still talking all greasy. I keep it moving, eyes on the next Luchini. It's never easy when you caught in the ill lifestyle. Niggas flipping wild to get paid for their wife and child. It's understandable when the system sees you as an animal. Gotta stack capital and raise up the level. Told son to run with that devil at his own peril. I'm in the cut like a rebel, planning the attack. Dealing with the pressure, son, ain't trying to catch a heart attack in this modern western habitat where the police target the black is mainly criminal. Afraid of the original, I spit dangerously lyrical shots through your dome to send your whole sucker team home.
Release the stress. Take it to the top side, don't settle for less. Release the stress. Show us what you got signed, you one of the best. Release the stress. Life is mad wild, that's why niggas smoke cess. Release the stress. Gotta release the stress. My man's Mad Friday, gotta release the stress. My nigga Mr. Spice, gotta release the stress. My man Del Dolo, release the stress. My man DJ Ping's gotta release the stress. My nigga Ray Rollins, gotta release the stress. My brother Pascal, gotta release the stress. My brother Hadrian, release the stress.
By the one and only Lewis Parker in the studio.
Yes, indeed.
With
you
us.
Gotta release the stress, you know what I mean?
That's exactly what you just heard there, my beloveds. You know?
And so that's coming out on the 12-inch.
That's coming out on the 12-inch. You got the instrumentals.
Stay close to the mic so everyone can hear your lovely voice.
You got the instrumentals. You got the bonus beats. You know what I mean? I even let the drums go free. So for you beat heads who want to steal up my drums, they even there free on the record, sitting there crispy.
But do you know what? Speaking of that, have you seen this nowadays, Lewis? How a lot you have a lot of producers where they make these packs of like download this drum kit.
I've been thinking about doing one or something like that for a little minute, but
the thing
weighing up how I would go about it, because I do think at the same time it does go against the tradition of what we are meant as a hip hop producer. You are meant to be doing is going out and digging in the crates,
but not even just that. I think also there's nothing better. Nobody else can do Lewis Parker better than Lewis Parker.
Oh no!
And what I want to hear is
it's
Lewis
Parker.
This is what's wonderful about the world is we're all different, and I want to hear.
If you want to get certain things, you see how
why
I was.
Would you want to
I don't
sound
think
like
I don't. I don't. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. If that's what floats your boat, and you want to get, you know, drum sounds that sound like Primo or Pete Rock or Just Blaze or whoever you takes your fancy, and you're buying a sample pack and it works for you, then it works for you. If you make dope sounding music off of the back of that, then, you know, more power to you, my brother.
Because
you know what I'm saying?
Or sister,
you know what I'm saying? I can't hate on someone's end product if the end product is fire. You know what I'm saying? I would not advise for you to sample off of the internet, such as YouTube and such like. But a lot of people do, and they make some good records with it. You know what I mean? So it's to me, it's the end product. You know what I mean?
All
the work that you put into it all matters, and you know, it's like playing a sport. You want to play right. You don't want to cheat. You don't want to. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, if you win the game, you win the game. You know what I mean?
That's what I was going to ask, though. Is it not the same as when you guys are sampling off an old record?
Well,
that's drums?
It looks. It's how you look at it. You know what I mean? But I go by the rules of hip-hop, and the rules of hip-hop to me was always about go and get the original record. You know what I mean? That goes back to the Bronx. You know, and I just watching the Get Down, loving that. You know what I mean? And it's like, you see, you know, they making this shit Hollywood now. What hip-hop actually represented, and if you want to follow the arts of it and the culture, then you stick to the rules.
But
you know
it even
what I mean?
Goes the hip hop quote unquote rules even go deeper than getting the original record, which of course that's an important part.
No, you're not going to say they have to go and get the original fucking drum skin now.
Yeah, you gotta go and get Clive's double fields.
And the drumsticks, by the way.
And the same pair he used when he recorded Funky Drummer.
No,
but even it goes beyond that, because a lot of the... A fundamental rule of hip hop is you've got to be you and no biting allowed. And I'm not saying that if people are downloading drum packs that you're biting Primo or whatever.
I don't think so.
I just think it's about having an identity, and that was a core intrinsic part of hip hop's origins. Is we have our identity. This is what I represent, and you have to come with you, and that's got to top what I'm doing if you want to come out the OG in
but
this.
But I know how it is to be a young producer and not to have all the records and not to have the breaks and wondering, yo, I don't even know the names of the breaks. How am I going to... But saying that these days, the internet, you know... Everyone uses the internet now, so you know your favorite producer uses the internet to research about artists he wants to sample. That's what we do now. So... There's not a problem with it, but it, to me, it's all about the source. And I come back down to, as people will know me as the man with the golden sound, I'm about trying to present the quality of music. And if you want to have your music presented at a high quality and sound good, a high fidelity,
that's
you
what
know,
I was
presentation
gonna say.
Of your recording, then you need to try to get the highest quality of that recording to present
the same way,
you know, I advise, you know, I hear a lot of cats these days coming out with unmixed records and stuff like that, and I advise get it mixed, go and find the producer, get it soloed out, you know, go to the studio, get it mixed, present the record in the best fashion you can present that record in.
And this is also partly why vinyl is having a resurgence at the moment, where you're seeing like millions more pieces of vinyl being sold each year.
Quality.
Camden Sainsbury's, they have vinyl on sale in there. This is where we're at now.
Wow.
How popular.
Camden Sainsbury's,
they had vinyl on sale.
What type of vinyl they're selling there?
Yeah.
Serious.
The grass seed.
CEO. Yeah. CEO just putting it out there into the let the abundance take that one. I'm sure it'll happen.
But no, I mean, because it's like the quality of sound that you get from vinyl, you cannot capture that on an MP3. You know, and you,
no,
can,
you can't.
And what
even,
you're,
even
if you're sampling from YouTube,
quality, you're still, you're gonna still, it's still gonna be a very compressed wave, and you're gonna be losing a lot of information.
Exactly.
You're not gonna be getting the bass response. You're not gonna be getting the highs properly. You know, if you want the best quality, and you're using it for the base of the sample from what you're gonna make your actual record, you want that to start off with as high as possible, because the quality is already gonna come down when you've sampled it, you've compressed it, EQ'd it. So, you know, the more headroom you can get on that sample, the better. And as a mix engineer, that's what I would recommend.
Because, you know, what do they say? You can't polish a turd, innit?
No, exactly. So, you can't polish a piece of...
I do know someone who can pour syrup on shit and make it taste like pancakes, though.
But what I was going to ask you, is...
what was I going to ask you now? It was to do with vinyl. So... do you think that now, because people are listening to music more on their computers, like through these little computer speakers and whatnot, and I'm not even known about the ones you plug in.
I think that makes the two-track era that we're in a lot more viable, and I think that's why people get away with it more and get away with street sounding albums and mixtape sounding records more than you would have been able to get past that shit in the golden days, where, you know, everything was coming out on 12s, everyone was listening to that shit on record or CD or cassette or a format like this on hi-fi systems at home, and you can hear the fidelity of the music a lot clearer. I think now, when everyone's listening to it on phones, laptop speakers, you know, portable speakers, it does make things more acceptable to be a lower quality, because you're only hearing half of the sonic picture anyway, you know what I'm saying? So,
but at the same time, then when you do hear it,
and exactly. I think it all makes a difference, because when you do hear it, when someone is playing it on the radio, when someone is playing it in the club, when someone has got a nice hi-fi system and you're trying to listen to the you know, all of
it's
these,
the
you're listening to it in the car.
When you take them Beats by Dre's off and really
this ain't hitting as hard as,
and this is when then you have to realise, okay, there's a reason why certain things are timeless classics.
Yeah, that's why there's a reason why you hire Quincy Jones and that becomes like the certified bench.
And
you're going to Battery Studios and you're spending your peas, and you know,
I don't
need to be going to these places. I don't need to be paying engineers no more, because they think, yeah, my man's got the little Logic set up on his laptop, he can handle
Fruity
the business. Yeah,
he's got
the Dre
plugins.
Exactly.
He's got it. What do you think about these? Like, you can get like Dre's mixes of so and so.
Just put this plugin on top.
Yeah, and then it sounds like Dre mixed it or Timbaland mixed it.
That's not gonna work, brother. You know what I mean? You've got to use your ears, man.
I mean, I might
be impressed by some of what these new plugins can do, and I have heard some plugins that are good. But for me, all of the plugins versus actual gear never sound as good. So that's why, you know, if you see what I put in my lab, that's why I still deal heavy with analog and real hardware.
Also, like they say with singers, the most successful singers in the world, it's straight away you recognize it. Straight away you know that's Prince. Straight away you recognize, you know, the voice.
Yeah.
Straight away I know when I'm hearing, when I know a Lewis Parker beat, straight away I recognize like a Ben Grimm beat.
I think a lot of that has to do with what...
because you're not using the download of someone's drum kit.
You've got to use quality and look to present your music as quality, you know what I'm saying? So,
but Lewis, also, you've worked with so many people in the UK and the States too, you know, and I think there's one artist in particular out here who a lot of people, like, I really remember it feeling like a moment when these records came out, but you were involved with the first time people got to hear Kalashnikov, Ricochet. Kalashnikov.
I introduced Kalashnikov onto the scene, as such as you'd say, with Dagon Mentality.
So how did that come about? How did you guys meet?
I first properly met Clash. I see him one time at a freestyle on the radio. And then he was really cool with A-Side. And I was used to hang with A-Side quite a lot. And I was around A-Sides. Clash was there. We were smoking, little freestyling, checking beats, whatever.
I ended up being like, yo, Clash, man, you're nice. You got to come to the studio and lay something down. And it happened. We followed through, and he actually came through a week later or something. And I remember he come through. And this was crazy because I shouldn't try to talk bad about that. He came and he was broke. The nigga had no money at all. Mm. And I remember, I bought some chicken. It was one of them ones. Yeah,
he was a Jankro.
We all were Jankro.
Yeah, you know, the proper Jankro.
In the paradise.
Style paradise. Paro life and all of that. So he was coming, and it was like that, you know, a little 10 drawers, I think we shared, and all of that shit. And it was just a Bruck thing. And yeah, I remember I hooked that beat up in right there for him.
Daggo!
Like, yo, this is going
to... That was like straight out the SP this, sound, that one, man.
That's actually a 900 on the drums.
Bam! Oh. Wow. Stare back,
I'm
slow
a DJ.
Your roll. Yeah. Let the producers do the producer tour.
You know, that sounded mad crusty.
But you see, that's where the gold sound coming to it. Because a lot of people have said that. Yo, that's a lot of people say stuff I did in the 90s. They think I done it on
SP. I don't even attempt to try and guess that shit because I still don't.
Yeah,
guess.
that was actually the 900 and 950 in effect.
Jesus,
but yeah, man. it was a slightly different record because I don't think I'd ever put out a record that I'd sampled a reggae joint, especially not at that point. I don't even know. I've got a couple of people you know, I like my reggae, so I have stashes.
So you
reggae,
did that? You sampled that there and then for him?
Yeah, wow. I was like, yeah, this is how Taylor I'm feeling. Yeah, this is how I'm
That's
feeling
crazy.
for my G right here. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, I want that Caribbean, West Indian, UK feel on this record here, and I think it will be big. And no one have quite did it like that in recent years. You know what I mean? And he come out. And I think
you put him on the map with that one, man.
Yeah, because it was an eye opener. You know what I mean? Like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, I think people were looking at him like the UK Nas and shit.
Definitely, man.
And you know, he went from strength to strength. I mean, it was for me and Kalashnikov, we were like this at one point, and certain things, you know, politics and all of that, it got messed up when I was leaving. For the States, it didn't go well with me and Clash. Okay. And I had about 7 tracks we'd recorded over time that he wanted to do an album, wanted to work towards an album. Mm. And I'm like, bro, at this point, I'm moving to the States. Things are going to be a little different for me. Mm. But I said to him, I'm still down to work and we can, you know, part. We can. But he was so pissed with me that I was leaving, that he didn't want to keep the connection, he didn't want to keep the friendship like that. So I left, I've spoken to him since then and we've worked out, we're cool now. But it was a shame because we should have kept on and I should have got them tracks out, you know what I mean? So
never too late. You know. And, you know, another little undersung gem, I think, because Daggo Mentality was such a massive record when that dropped. I think the track Zero that you and Clash did, that kind of went a little bit under
It went under the radar. I don't think...
I think
they're more sort of straightforward and I think Daggo Mentality had a little bit more of a vibe to it. It had a little
spirit,
bit more
man.
It had a little bit more of individuality, and I think the 012 was a little bit more standard, straightforward boom bap hip hop, even though it was dope. It was weird because I was actually meant to do Murder. I actually recorded the first version of Murder over a completely different beat. I had another beat.
Oh, you as well. That's the story with the original
I'll show you how it happened. I recorded the original demo, one verse and hook.
Okay.
All right. Same verse, same hook. Kemet, Ez and Trev were meant to put it out. I had a falling out over the papes with Ez and Trev. It got a little bit...
Politics, on it?
Got a little
Lewis
bit hairy, it? Yeah?
Lewis and your politics.
Then I'm hearing, we're taking the Murder track to Harry. And then...
As in Harry Love.
Yeah, as in Harry Love. And then I remember... I think Harry even come over and played me, was with Clash, and he played me the original version with the lot darker one with drums, right? And I was like, yeah, cool. But I had my backup because I was like, no, I'm killing you with my version of this record, dogs. Like, my beat's mad more fire. And I know he felt away because that's when he went back and he did the version that came out, and he did that after. So I think I put the fire up his back a little bit.
Good,
when he come
no,
over.
But that's healthy. You know what I mean? I think that's what we meant to do, spur
but that's,
each other
yeah,
on.
That's how it was back then. You know what I mean? It was a competition, even though it was an unsaid competition. It was always competition. You know what I mean?
And that's who's the same thing with Large Professor says, like talking about the Illmatic project with, you know, how they were kicking each other up the butt between him,
who was
Primo,
get the production,
and Pete Rock,
who was the
you know, in that whole era.
Exactly.
And that record, Murder, the produced by Harry Love, the Clash of Cops record. That's a certified UK
classic.
It's a classic
certified
too.
UK
but, you know,
classic.
And it became so massive, I think, that in many ways, a lot of people even forgot about Dango.
That's his biggest record, without a doubt. Murder is his biggest record.
So, quickly, because we got to move on, but how did the Ghostface thing come about? You ended up on his, which album was it?
Fish Girl. And More Fish.
And More
now,
Fish, yeah.
This is very interesting. This is,
for those who don't know,
we're going back to 2005.
Brush the shoulders off,
right? 2005. I'm already in the States, but I'm back over here for a few months, doing shows, seeing family, whatever. I didn't know Ghost was going to be in town, and I wasn't even watching it. But at that point, I was shotting beats as much as I can, so I was always walking around with CDs, or had the laptop ready to burn CDs, you know what I mean, with beats. That's, you know, a lot of little things happen off of them, me just handing out beat CDs to people. Man Friday said, was like, yo, we got to go to Deal Real, because Ghostface is having an in-store in Deal Real. I've gone down to Deal Real, and I thought I'm more cool with the guys in Deal Real, which I am, but they didn't. I said, yo, here's my BCD. Play this shit when Ghost gets here.
Can we just clarify? This is the second bite in Deal Real, not the first one.
Yeah,
the
second one, right?
You know,
no, I was like,
Deal
I'm mad cool
family.
With them. I'm mad cool with all them brothers. But I will tell you, I'm mad
too.
Cool. I love them brothers.
Just like to
you know what I mean?
Just
want
to
Vincent is my
there,
is
know,
my dude for years. But but. They weren't like, yeah, Lou, we're going to make sure Ghost hears these beats and get him to him. They were more like, yeah, okay. I think they were more interested in their boy, the Asian cat they got making beats.
Oh, Chew. Not Chew. I was going to say Chew. Like, they all named. They're all,
you know
they're
who
all
I'm talking
same.
About,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
He's a good brother. And
yeah,
I know,
yeah,
you know what I mean? I know him off the head.
Eric Lau,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Harry. And they were repping for your boy hard. So when Ghost is on stage, the beat they played for him to rhyme over was Murder. Alright? That's the beat they played.
You must have your pistol.
And your boy Ghost was like, this is alright, yo, where's the next beat?
Wow.
Alright? Wow. After that, Ghost has come off. Everyone is surrounding him. I'm like, yo, I just need the one, hit him with the main scene, and I'm out. I hit him with the BCD, bang. There you are, my dude. Respect. I'm out.
Wow, so you did it.
I don't do all the dick sucking shit. I never do. All right? I hit him with the BCD and I bounced. I didn't think nothing of it, because the amount of dudes I hit with BCDs in around that time, every time that's all I was doing in New York for a good few years, was going to industry parties, whatever parties I could go to where cats wasn't, trying to hit him with BCDs. So giving Ghost a BCD really wasn't too much thing to me. I didn't think of it. A whole year went past. I'm actually in Barbados now with my mum, walking down Bridgetown.
Yeah.
The celly goes off. Yo, is this Lewis Parker? I've been looking for you. I'm like, yeah, this is Mike, Ghostface manager. I got Ghost on the line right now. Ghost, come on. Yo, son, I love those beats. Yo, that soundtrack, L70 shit. Yo, he was going on like that. You know
that's
what I mean?
Crazy.
He was going on like that, like super hyped up. At that point, they told me they've already recorded to a good 5 joints. You know what I'm saying?
Serious.
I've got to get back to New York. I'm bugging out. I'm bugging out. All I was doing was bugging out. Like, yo, I got to get Ghost more beats. And he recorded, like, I would say around 7 joints, like one verse on something. You know what I mean? And then for a minute, I had a bunch of records on the Fishkill album. It was looking nice for me.
Wow.
I was smiling. Like, yeah.
And then, we were all smiling.
Then when it started to come to, we're wrapping the album up, we're getting the mixes done, I'm losing, oh, you've lost, this isn't on there no more. Mm. Pete Rock's got another feature. Oh, Just Blaze has come in. Oh, mm. You know, I was like, oh shit, I'm losing out. Am I even going to make it? There was
like
one point I thought, I'm not even going to make it no more. Shit. I thought the other producers had come in and beaten me on namesake more than even fire, because I knew I was giving him fire. I lost a few records due to sample clearance as well. A few of them didn't make it.
Yeah, I did hear that, yeah.
That through, they couldn't get sample clearance and stuff like that. But Shaky Dog was the last record recorded for that project.
And wasn't that the second track on the album?
They had a little talking intro.
Yeah, that was the intro beat. I remember hearing it going, oh shit.
And if you missed our interview with Ghostface Killah a couple of weeks ago, definitely hit up foobarradio.com/hiphop and listen back to that. You just have to listen back to the interview, Nurse. But you know, I thought it was only correct that we played you something classic from Lewis Parker before. Make sure you keep it locked right here as well, because in a little moment we're gonna have Mark Griss, Tony D, and in the studio, that we're gonna be getting into some very nice rapping action. So we're looking forward to hearing
all
of
that. Got something
Shout
special
out
coming
to
up.
Red Bull in the place to be, also.
Yeah, them wangs, man. Hey, Red Bull, we need them wangs, man. You know what I'm saying? I heard Red Bull gave you wangs,
but before that. This is some UK certified, for the wangs, some certified UK classic golden sound business from our man Lewis Parker in the studio with us. This is Hip Hop on FUBAR.
I'm like Britney Spears, you get spear in your head with the... Now, it's not a joke. Original front teeth, gold teeth, no brush teeth, skin teeth, kick out teeth, blood clean. Yo! Here it is! Everything is fresh and nice, see? Yo, I'm live-o, fuck a 5-0, flex like Fernando. I'm walking down dark roads with Darbots and Jankos. Negros with no code like Double O. It's cold wind, blow like Satchmo. Offload like Macaro, till rap is back on roll. Hold the zip code, my brain's overload like boats flooded with info. Maniacs running on road, shutting like Rambo. Running out of ammo, these times are paramedics. Radics getting juked with a steel rusty ratchet. There's man cocking gadgets to pierce your puffer jacket. Disconnect the mainframe, my mind state is metric. Fake don't segregate, burst the barricades and escape out the cages. Hatred is contagious when contained in small spaces. Suffocate my pain, keep it contained within the pages. It's less dangerous, channel my chi into changes. It takes ages. That's eight stages of 36 chambers. Protect your neck, you're next to Kim and next door neighbors. Come next year, I'm killing fascios for wages. Bareface, be faced with fear on a daily basis. Slushes on my case for eradication, raid my Bill Gates. Ricochet, Kalashnikov, rip through your rag and bone. Penetrate your steel plate. Contemplate, we ain't got nothing to conversate. Snakes congregate while convicts plan the great escape. This world's full of hate, but I moderate my intake like karma. The saga continues to circulate like Circle 33. Arms out and don't accommodate. Spit cyanide, one double O. Concentrate. Yeah, cause that's dagger mentality. Killing fascists with salary. Salivating insanity. Yeah. Dagger mentality. Killing fascists with salary. Salivating insanity. Yeah. Since 9-5 merciless. You might have heard of us. My flex causes turbulence. I live amongst the murderers. It's murderous. Whole heap of man trying to murder us. Maneuvering like burglars with infrared binoculars. The East Maze metropolis filled to the brim with metro police officers. Man popping man for popularity. Insanity, can it be? Things were all so simple back in 93. Now it's pure tragedy. These dagger days dragging me deeper into agony. Animated anarchy. My attitude is aggy. Man attacking like Apache. Coppers trying to catch me. Can't write like Kabayashi. You move like a cockroach and your whole flex is fussy. Your pussy old, my flow's sharp. Cut your throat, spit killer quotes. Then I'm ghost on the outro. My eyes glow, glistening like nitro. Lock, stock and two smoking rifle. Kalashnikov, tear your fucking ear off like Van Gogh. Burst shots through your tank top. Stand firm like Mexican standoff. Standing on the standby, the standard procedure. The basic Amiga. Maintain my balance like Libra. Swift like Calibra. Injection, big up to my henchmen. Too many names to mention. I bench press stress, treading streets full of tension.
attention. What's your intention? What? To spread love or vengeance? Life's like a sentence. I'm trapped in the context of man-made laws. Keep a shame by my doors, cause I live by the sword. Man get chopping their vocal cords. Man getting robbed for their mobile wards. Man overboard, man dying over frauds. Man killing man for gyros on the high road, getting rushed more. Yeah, you know the score. Two twos and four fours under floorboards, ready for them frauds. Yeah, yeah, you know the score. Two twos and four fours under floorboards, ready for them frauds.
I think he's the, like, he originated
the original road man rapper from the UK.
Yeah, man, definitely.
Original
classical.
Putting it down for how the streets are.
There were,
you know,
people talking in like street talk before, but
nah, but when he come out, he made everyone step their get their game up.
Exactly.
And niggas who want to be rhyming on some road fuck shit, he make niggas over here step their shit up.
He was believable, do you know what I mean?
That was
a
what
lot
happened.
Of people didn't sound that believable when Class came out.
When he clapped,
and I feel like the whole channel, YouTube, like he
murdered it. When Murdered come
rappers.
Out, yeah, it was, I remember, it was a problem.
Crazy,
it was
man.
A problem.
Dago, I think before that, before Murder,
it was like the official. You know what I mean?
No, but, I think these are important landmarks, like, in hip hop. We've been talking to our man Lewis Parker live in the studio here. What, Lewis, you have some shout outs before you jump out of here?
Yeah, you know what I mean? I want to say, you know, keep your eyes to the new shit I'm coming out, working on the album right now. Just finished recording with my man Spice, you know what I mean? Who I know Spice, you know, brotherhood legendary, and I know you know him, he around
Spice.
Your corner. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you need to get him through the show, because I'm having something drop on Spice featuring Artifacts. They, you know, Spice had Artifacts held up in the crib for all the last week.
What are the links, Lewis? If people want to track you down or see what you're, what you've got out, where should they be hitting up on the web?
KingUnderground.com, first place, you know what I mean? Find me on Facebook, Lewis, you know, /Lewis Parker. Instagram, Lewis Parker Jedi Master, you know what I mean? Twitter, Lewis Parker _ you know what I mean?
Basically, just Google Lewis
just
Parker.
Google.
Lazy ass motherfuckers.
You'll find it.
If you're interested.
King Underground, they've got a bunch of releases coming up. Fred Fades and Sun Raw featuring Planet Asia, 7-inch single. Is that two? Todd B?
Torb the Roach
coming up. Instrumental album. You've got Vital Pieces of Time LP and Sun Raw Beat Weeks LP. But go to kingunderground.com if you want to get more information, mother
Lewis,
lovers.
Thank you so much
no
for
doubt,
coming
people.
Through.
Thank you very much for having me every
yes,
time.
And you're
going to
be chilling
man.
For a minute.
Sarah, I ain't seen you for years, brother.
It's
you know
so
what I mean?
Lovely
every
to
time
have you here.
Sir.
Come back
yes,
soon,
man.
Isn't
likewise,
it?
Likewise,
and
yes.
keep it locked to Foo Bar Radio, because coming up right after this, we're going to be speaking to our guys in the building up here with some Red Bull action. And don't flop, Tony D, Margaret are going to be here. So keep it locked to Foo Bar.
Here we go again. Trayvon will never get to be an older man. Black children, they childhood stole from them, robbed of our names and our language. Stole again. Who stole the soul from black folk? Same man that stole the lamp for cheap black smoke and made the whip crackle on our back slow. Made us go through the back door and rap for black bodies on the slave blocks. Now we slaves to the blocks, on them we spray shots. Leaving our own to lay in a box. Black mother's stomach staying or not. We kill each other, it's part of the plot. I wish the hating would stop. War! And a battle with us. I know that black lives matter, do they matter to us? These are the things we gotta discuss. The new plantation, mass incarceration. Instead of educate, they rather convict the kids. As dirty as the water in Flint, the system is. Is it a felony or a misdemeanor? Maria Sharapova making more than Serena. It took Viola Davis to say this. The roles of the help and the gangsters is really all they gave us. We need Avas, Ta-Nehisi's and Cory Booker's. The salt of the earth to get us off of sugar. And greasy foods, I don't believe the news or radio stereotypes, we refuse. Brainwashed in the cycle to spin, we write our own story, black America again.
You know, one way of solving a lot of problems that we've got is letting a person feel that damn part. And a man can't get himself together until he know who he is and be proud of what and who he is. And wait, and wait, and where he come from. And where he come from.
Hot damn, Black America again. Think of Sandra Bland as I'm staring in the wind. The color of my skin, they comparing it to sin. The darker it gets, the less fairer it has been. The hate made, I inherited from them. But I ain't gonna point the finger. We got anointed singers like Nina, Marvin, Billy, Stevie. Need to hear them songs. Sometimes to believe me, who freed me? Licking a Cadillac, drinking a battle rap. So is it Godspeed that we travel at? Endangered in our own habitat. Them guns and dope, man, y'all can have it back. As a matter of fact, we them lab rats. You built the project for, now you want your hood back. I guess if you could rap, you would express it too. That PTSD, we need professionals. You know we're pressure, dude. It make the pipes bust from schools to prison, y'all. They tryna pipe us to your political parties. Invite us instead of making voting laws to spite us. You know we from a family of fights us. Fought in your wars and our wars. You put a nigga in Star Wars. Maybe you need to, and then maybe then we'll believe you. See black people in the future. We wasn't shipped here to rob and shoot ya. We hold these truths up, be self-evident. Our men and women are created equal, including black Americans.
You know, one way of solving a lot of problems that we've got is letting a person feel that there's somebody. And a man can't get himself together until he know who he is and be proud of what and who he is. And where he come from.
We know everybody's the black American story. We know everybody's the black American story, yeah. We know everybody's the black American story. We know everybody's the black American story, yeah. We know everybody's the black American story.
Produced by Robert Glasper and Kareem Riggins, Black America again. It features Stevie Wonder on that cut, and yeah, there's a whole gang of good music that he's got out on an album called A Bigger Picture, featuring Anderson .Paak on there, Jay Electronica, John Legend, a whole gang of cats. So definitely check it out. We got all that good new hip hop music for you right here every Monday 4 till 6 p.m. on FUBAR with myself, Sarah Love,
and myself, Mice Diggy, aka the voice of Chocolate Velvet Cake. And we are joined by some special mother lovers today, boy. We're about to do some famous ass shit, basically. So we got Don't Flop in the building, Mark Griss, Tony D. Sarah wants to say, how do you say his name?
Well, no, I just need to, well, first of all, welcome, guys. It's lovely to have you all here.
Lovely to be here.
It's lovely to have you all here. Mark, what's the download with you, man?
It's been quite surreal, really.
You're like, doing some famous ass shit right now. What's going on? We've got cameras in the building. Like, they look way bigger than the cameras like our lot usually have around. What's going on here?
Okay, so I've been doing like a lot of spoken word stuff, and a while back, I got called in by Red Bull to make a short film out of one of my poems and stuff, and they started talking to me saying they wanted more content, and I said, oh, do you know what, you should make a TV series about me travelling around meeting rap battlers and finding about rap battle and how it works around the world and what's going on with it. And they went, oh yeah, like, alright, yeah, why not? We kind of need some content. So we've been working on it for about a year and a half.
Oh wow.
Yeah, just kind of like keeping on like pitching the idea, trying to like hone it up, work out what it is, and we're at the point now where it's real, like it's properly real.
It's happening.
I'm heading on a flight on Friday over to the Philippines to have a rap battle against a guy called Looney, who is huge. He's the most viewed
battle rapper.
Yeah, I think he might be the most viewed rapper in the world. Like, that's what, how he
serious.
That's how he puts himself out there. Over 100 million views on YouTube.
So for people who don't know, because you said you're a poet, yeah. But obviously you came from the poet world into battle
okay,
rap.
Okay, yeah. So like, I was an English teacher and I was writing poetry and doing stuff like that, and then I got really interested in rap battles. And I found out about Don't Flop, and like Rowan like gave me a shot over there. I kind of struggled through my first battle, which is also the same event that Tony first debuted.
That was my debut too.
Against Mickey Worthless, and like he smashed it. And then afterwards we set up another battle, which was against a guy called Blizzard.
This is the famous one that this
yeah
is
and so of... I turn up like in a suit. When I started doing it secretly when I was teaching, I used to go down to nightclubs in the suit and like try battling and find it out. It seemed to be funny. Yeah, yeah. That's when it started, and we knew it was like it was an interesting thing, and I wanted to find out more about it because a lot of my students are really interested in it, and I didn't know much about it. So we thought we'll have a battle against Blizzard because you know I'm a teacher, and he was 17 years old, and I teach 17 year olds. We thought it'd be quite funny, and it went viral, and
because the battle came out as teacher versus rapper, right?
Teacher versus student.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah, and I think probably a lot of the views came from that kind of
because it looked real. It really did look
yeah,
like
right?
the teacher
and,
battle.
And yeah, but like no, it was cool. I felt I got a lot out of it. I've got a long way to go, but I really enjoyed it, and and so kind of like I've been thinking about doing more of it. It takes a lot of my time and energy to like write battle stuff because I've been doing poetry. But then I thought it doesn't really work with all doing all the shows and stuff, but then this came along and I thought, go on, you get to go to the Philippines and try and battle like you've got to try it.
You're
so with this new
Hawaiian
project
then,
so Mark Griss battles the world. So this new project, like how many places have you been to or planning
okay,
to
okay, so this
up?
Is going to be the first one, the Philippines. At the moment we're talking about Russia. The scene's like massive in Russia at the moment. We're talking about going to South Africa because there's a really exciting new scene that's developing over there. Canada, the States, probably for two episodes. Obviously the UK, we'll be kind of talking about stuff with Don't Flop. And also kind of yeah, just kind of like heading around and finding out. What's really interesting is like a lot of these scenes are very independent, but actually throughout history, there's been this kind of need for men to engage in like a verbal kind of like battle in a way that doesn't mean that anyone like gets killed. And I'm interested in it all.
It's
as
like
an English
chess.
Teacher. Yeah, and it is like chess. I find all of that stuff. We're basically, I don't know. I kind of feel like a lot of battlers I know would probably say that it's like being a train spotter, but like, you're a bit cooler. Like people are well into it. Do you know what I mean?
So, I mean
we
yeah.
can chat about these yeah, guys yeah, and stuff, yeah, yeah. but we can chat about schemes and concepts yeah. for like hours.
I mean, but it's a thing that you're going to see people out there that you know someone who plays golf or someone who's into crochet, you know, but like enthusiastically and be like, right, they're mad. It's the same thing with us. You know, people think. Wow, you love rap so much that you talk about like how it's constructed and how you know it's
the
same thing anyway, man.
It's
that's
the science behind
yeah.
it, isn't it?
I'm really interested in that, and I need to learn a lot more about that. And the best way to learn about it is to go around. I figure is to go around and meet all these people, and because I think a lot of people that battle are the equivalent of like a PhD professor, but it's just they haven't had the opportunities and they haven't had the kind of background that would mean that they get that kind of recognition for the ability that they've got with words. And
if it is something that is recognised in that kind of way, you know, poetry is something that's been around for hundreds of years in the sense that it's recognised by the academic world and, you know, it's high art, considered as high art sort of level. I don't know if we're necessarily on that level with battle rap yet in terms of how it's recognised.
You think you're
going to go down the Royal Academy and they're going to be like, yeah, don't flop battle
that time with the rhyme scheme.
Nah, ain't on that level
I'd
yet.
Say poetry's the same thing. You've got poets like Kate Tempest coming through and the academic side of poetry is freaking out at stuff like that.
In what sense?
Yeah, I've seen people like there was an article in The Spectator recently that was kind of slating Kate Tempest and saying that it was like just really I felt like real classist.
Was she like
stuff,
the mumble like, rap to poetry?
Yeah,
that
exactly. That's it. I mean, I'm not even joking. I've had a lot, I'll be honest, like a lot of people in the world of poetry even think that being interested in this is ridiculous. I've had loads of people come up to me say like, "What are you doing?" It's like not.
And do you say the same thing back?
Yeah,
to them?
Really. But I think you get the same thing from both sides. I think there's probably a lot of people like within hip hop will go like, "Who's this guy?
Definitely.
Who's doing this?"
How did you? What made you like? Was it just the use of words and being that powerful with words that you could put somebody down? What was it that intrigued you? Where you're moonlighting as a battle rapper?
Do you know what? A lot of my students were like really into it, and There's this theory that they say there's a problem with education where you've got like teachers. We believe like a teacher's like a jug full of water, and the kids are like empty glasses, and they come in and you fill the kids up with the water, and that's the knowledge, and they go out, and that's it. And it's not. I don't think it's a really effective way to teach anymore. It's really archaic because no kid is an empty glass. So you kind of like they come in and you share ideas and you find out. And a lot of my students were really into it, and I thought, well. That you can either go, well, that's wrong, right? You should just, Shakespeare's the right thing, that's the wrong thing to be, like, interested in. Or you can go, like, tell me a bit about it, right? Let's have a go. Like, and so I started, like, we'd have rap battles as characters from Of Mice and Men and stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
And I got interested in it, and I just thought, I can't box, right? Like, physically, I don't think I could, like, go and do, like, be a cage fighter.
Well, you got the neck for it.
But I was like, I can use words, right? And if I want to find out about this, like, why not? I do a bit want to see what I can do. Like, I am interested in that. And I do like the idea of, like, it's competitive. Like,
yeah, so the competition is
I like that. I like the idea that you're going to try and do it.
And, speaking of the competition, we're also joined by some other battle rap enthusiasts.
Yes,
Tony
champ,
D is here.
Tony D.
I'm not the champ no more, man. You can't address me. You can't.
What the hell?
You're insulting
eyes,
the real
man.
Champ right now, man.
You're the people's champ. Tony D, man. We've been trying to get you on here for a minute.
I know, bro.
He's another famous ass rapper.
Monday afternoon's fella. I've got two kids, you know what I mean? I've got to work myself around this.
How you been, man?
I'm all right, bruv. I'm good, man. I'm happy to see you as always.
So you're still battle rapping because I thought I went to your last ever.
Nah, I retired the belt. I retired the belt, and I couldn't stay away, bruv. I got one on Saturday.
Oh, you got one coming up on Saturday?
Yeah.
Is that that's with Don't Flop?
Yeah, that's with Don't Flop. Yeah, Camden, Fiddler's Elbow. Too late, tickets are sold out.
Because I first knew Tony Dangerous. You know, back in the day.
A long time ago.
You know, and that was kind of, I was introduced to you pre-battling Tony D.
Last of the summer wine.
You know, but is battling now your passion, or do you have an interest in doing like recording, you know?
I still like the words. It's always been about words. Mm. I never really cared about the music side of it. I just like writing raps. So this, whether it's battling or music, I don't really mind. The thing is, though, I can't do both at the same time. I can't change my mind frame from insulting someone for 3 minutes to writing a song about something. I can't switch out of it. So I have to do one or the other at any given time. And at the moment, it's just been battling.
How do you shake hands after a battle once you've insulted someone for 5 minutes straight and they've insulted you and your mum?
Yeah, everyone's friends despite
not
that.
Everyone.
Well, yeah, no, not everyone. Everyone's friends with me. Everyone's friends
just
with me.
Just had to say that. Don't worry, your time's coming, boy.
So it's all in good humour and people always understand that. Is there ever a time, have you ever been in a battle and you're like, okay, that went too far, we need to have words?
Personally, no. I've seen it happen, but personally, nah.
Because I think it's a shame if those kind of situations can't be settled in the, like, that's the whole forum of what a battle serves, is like, you know, you to be provoked to that point where you settle it with your prowess on the mic.
That's essentially the point. I can't be mad at something that he's going to say to me if I've just spent the last week writing stuff about him. That's hypocritical, isn't it? You've got to take it on the chin regardless. So it's good fun.
How far does the research go before a battle when you know you're meeting someone like this Saturday or whatever?
Do you know what? I'm a fan of most of the people I battle I've seen before.
Okay. Mm.
When I'm not battling them, I'll watch their battles. When I find out I'm battling them and it's time to do research, I hate looking at them. I literally watch about 7 seconds and then turn it off like, you're shit. I hate you.
Yeah, like, but you don't really mean that.
No, not at all. It's just to get myself in that mind state to, I've got to take your head off.
It really is like fighting, isn't it? Because the fighters have to do that sometimes. They got to have a reason to hate you before I get in the ring, because it's kind of weird, you know. This is it's a sport. Essentially, what you guys are doing is a sport, you know. And so, is there like levels of training that you have to do beforehand? Obviously, doing the research and whatnot. But is there anything that you know?
I think rapping helps a lot. But then, with battle rap now, you've got people who have never rapped before, people who are poets who've come in and smashed the scene. So I'd like, as far as I go, rapping helps me a great deal. But there's a lot of people that's on a very high level that don't rap. So I don't know what their preparation would be like.
And so that's expanded. The scene has expanded because of that, because it's not just about, yo, I'm a rapper and a battle. Now
and
it's
different,
like...
Different scenes around the world are very different kind of styles. That's what I've learned from the Philippines footage I've seen. Like, it's almost like if Looney Tunes characters were like were like battling. It's really, really over the top graphic. You're really animated. These loads of antics, these props, these costume. They do loads of like really like dramatic stuff. It's quite childish content. Yeah, like in the sense that like there's very few personal angles that are used.
And obviously, like you're saying, culturally, they're using put downs. Things that would be a put down in their culture, they're using. So you might hear it and be like, what? Like, your mum wears sandals or something, you know? But we're like, what's wrong with that? But is it like that?
Yeah, a lot of that. There's a lot of stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do with bodily functions as well. It's big over there.
So it's the most base level of like humour and male entertainment.
You
like,
pee out your ass and shit out your dick.
But you mentioned Kate Tempest, like, and it's, I mean, how, we are also joined in the studio by, do I call you Rowan or Ur?
She's struggling to say your name. That's what I'm trying
give
to
us
get.
The finally, give us the correct pronunciation.
I think let's just stick with Rowan.
Rowan, okay, that's cool.
Actually, genuinely, I recently, my email used to be @dontflop.com and I recently changed it to Rowan@dontflop.com because I'm bored of just saying and everyone going, how do you spell that? How do you pronounce that? So I've changed. Anyone out there wants to email me as officially Rowan, just call me Rowan.
And we were talking earlier about signs of when you've become a proper adult, so I guess that's also part
I had a discussion with everybody that works for Don't Flop and I woke up one day and I was like, do you know what, boys? I feel like we're not 19 anymore. I'm personally going to change my email to Rowan. I feel like we should just call ourselves our real names, and it was quite split down the middle.
Yeah,
and half the team. Yeah, like
everyone who was comfortable the with their name must have been like, "What are you talking about?"
No, do you know what? No, not true at all. Actually, half the team were like, "No, I actually agree. I just want to be called John." But then, like Kruger was just like, "No," he was like, "I've built up a name as Kruger, and I don't want to change." So I said, "Fair enough."
I swear you could do an amazing sitcom about battle rap communities and stuff as well. It's just the conversations that come up, it's just so funny.
It was like an hour long conversation about email titles. Like.
So on that note then, what are the challenges of running something like Don't Flop? You know, because you're dealing with lots of different characters and politics.
It's the benefit, you get to hang around with me quite frequently.
Do some famous ass shit like
the
that.
Same pro, and there's a lot of the same pros and the same cons. Like, it's just like, honestly, a lot of the things that are good about it, they get tiring after a while. Like, there is so many different personalities, and obviously, it's quite male dominated as well.
Sausage Fest. Right, it's like, not, you know, just male dominated. I mean, on average,
all
at one of your events,
smiling at them events.
What is
they're
the ratio of like men to women?
Like, I'd honestly say, it really has improved. It's now probably 1% female.
That is a massive improvement.
I would say honestly, like probably like maybe for every 100 guys, there's maybe like 15, 20 girls. So you can see it in the videos now. Honestly, I'd say over the last 2-3 years, there really is, like, you get groups of girls coming now that they don't come with their boyfriend. That's what it used to be. The girls only came if their boyfriend brought them or they knew someone battling.
They were driving them there.
Yeah,
the responsible adult.
But
the
last couple of events, there's actually been groups of girls that have just come and been, oh yeah, we saw about it on Facebook or whatever, and come through. Still, obviously, it's always going to be a complete sausage fest. Don't get me wrong. It will never change.
And I mean, there has been sort of controversy with Don't Flop, isn't there? Because like I say, there's so many artists and MCs that you're dealing with. These are a lot of people to keep happy, and it's hard to keep everyone happy all the time, isn't it?
I think it's just the budget. That's all it comes down to in life, is money. There's never any, there's never been any situation with Don't Flop where people have disagreed on a level of, personally, I don't like that thing you've done, you know, just as like a random thing you've done, I don't respect what you've done. Any issues we've ever come across has been always, the root of it has been money. And I honestly can say, I've never had any problems with anything that didn't go back to money.
Yeah, because I think also for some people it probably gets quite tough because they see like, right, my video's up, they're getting this amount of views, like ultimately that's because of my rap skills, but I ain't earning no fees off of this.
People have the wrong idea about how much you get for views.
The perfect example is like, there was
in terms of the branding, like that's building a brand, Don't Flop, which then you're able to take that all over the world and merchandise it, work with that, promote that kind of thing. But for an MC, they don't necessarily have that business skill.
I think a lot of it is that people get caught up in the hype of it and they don't think about the real actualities of what running a business is like. Like, there's been quite a few battles where they've done quite well, like view wise and whatever, and there's been a lot of people turn out to see them, but often, without sounding rude, one MC in the battle will be a much bigger draw than the other. Like, say if I put Tony against someone that just tried out last week, he's obviously going to get paid more than that person, because just because the venue sold out that person he's battling shouldn't get the same amount, because if I went round with a clipboard and said, who have you come here to see? Mm. They'd all say him. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's where a lot of the arguments come down to.
So it is possible to earn a living as a battle rapper?
I wouldn't say a living, like living.
Tony,
like,
what do you reckon from the other side of the tracks?
Now you're taking all these battles in other leagues, maybe you are, mate. You know what I'm saying?
Whoa.
Whoa. For the money.
He's got to try and make it work. You know? We're not all English teachers out there. You know?
I don't think you could. I'm not sure in this country you could really make a living off. You would have to be battling incredibly regular.
I think you could genuinely, what's the word, like supplement your income pretty well.
Yeah, you could do that. You could definitely supplement your income.
So
yeah,
what does that mean? That means having a day job and then battling on the weekends.
Or using it as promotion for something else you're working on.
Yeah,
I think
when
I started, I've never been paid anything for any of the battles that I've done. But at the same time, I started when I was teaching. When I left teaching and I started being a poet, I always viewed that this was just a way of promoting myself online and what I was doing, and then I would do live shows and sell merch.
So all this battle talk, I want to hear some rapping. So let's play. Yeah, and you guys are all going to spit, right?
Jesus.
I don't know. I thought
we were doing some acapella stuff.
Yeah,
let's pay these bills. We got to pay.
Who knows? Nobody knows.
We got to pay bills around here at Fubar. Yeah, but I think we're going to do the. Not every week we have an open mic where we have guest producers provide a beat. But this week I think you guys are going to do something acapella for us.
Oh,
God. I'm down. Tony D's of the caliber where I could just throw him in the deep end and he'll cope with it.
So you're tuning into Fubar Radio. Don't move a muscle. It's Sarah Love, Jeez. Mice Diggy. We're joined in the studio by Rowan, not R, from Don't Flop. Tony D and Mark Griss. We're going to get into some open mic type flavour in a second. Let's hit this.
Fubar Radio presents.
There's a Labour MP called Keith Vaz.
Right.
He is quite a senior Asian Labour MP. But anyway, this weekend there was an expose.
Oh, no.
And this happily married man with two children enjoyed the company of a gay male escort.
Now he represents a modern British family. You're a wife, kids, and two male ministers.
Well, you're right. This is the British way, which is to be married with kids and to be a tortured closet homosexual.
Yeah. You don't get more British than that. And I feel that he was flying the British flag.
Well, give that man a knighthood.
I'm finally related. Relating to him at last. There's a connection.
Every Thursday.
It's the news.
From 12 p.m. on Fubar Radio.
Okay, well, so we haven't got much time, and we have determined in that quick 30-second bill-paying time that we are going to do something a cappella.
Clap your hands, everybody. Let's go into some a cappellas, man. Who wants to kick it off? We've got Mark Griss, Tony D, two battle rappers, one poet. Well, two poets. What am I talking about? One English teacher.
I was a poisonous poet. I don't think it counts.
Yeah, poisonous poetry.
Well, you're a battle rap teacher. Let's say that. There's a lot of little young Uncle Tony's running around.
There's a few. I want royalties.
Yeah, let's hear some bars, man.
Cool. Just off the top, like
acapella.
Acapella. All right, look. You going first, or you want me to kick this off?
I can do a bit.
Yeah, go for it.
So I've been trying to write on a beat, like, for the first time, but I can do it acapella. All right, year 9, RE class, and I'm chatting with the seat back. Teacher keeps rehashing some old classes to us and we laugh. I mean, come on, miss. Bullshit. The afterlife, some dreamland. Get down on our knees and we might get a free pass. What if we want to be bad? Don't want to kneel to some dead, boring guy who looks a little bit like Pete's dad. Faith meant crusades. Faith meant jihads. We can't believe that anyone would make themselves believe that. Yeah, we were deep-fanged. We were proud of being beastmen. Some guys will play at Saints and we were happy as the heathens. Argued with the teacher until she pretty much was screaming, then headed to the ball to kick, court to kick a ball and let off steam. And while out there we saw girls, we gave banter, beer and lippy. For one, I like Amy, she was shy, but she was pretty. I just dumped Candice Rawlings because her mum drove a Mini and I was single. She was up there, she was hot, she was skinny. Yeah, more than thin, like girls that we saw modelling. Her form so fit and taut, her skin was bordering on porcelain. Now many tried to score a win, but no one yet had bagged her. Plus, everybody knew she was a proper Bible basher. That's like,
That was Mark Griss. Mark Griss, it's on Fubar Radio. What, Tony, are you going to take the baton?
Jeez. All right, look, I'm right here. I'm 5'7", extra off in my Nike air. I'm raps living, breathing, real life nightmare. Let's get it quite clear. Straight up in this rap game, blood, my name Buzz Lightyear. Look, I'm the talk of the town. Yeah, it's me, the guy they're all walking around and they're talking about. That's from the east, west, north to the south. I'm a breath of fresh air. I'm the water that fall in the drought. I'm what the world's been waiting for. I'm what your baby mother and your sister and your girl's been waiting for. Maybe saw the face or had the name before. It's Tony D. I'm a poisonous poet. Say no more, man. You must know the protocol. A damn vandal that manhandled a mic like Buster in Tokyo. Assorting senses with assorting sentences. Magic words. It's like the man that served the sorcerer's apprenticeship. Applaud the author's penmanship. And jump on the bandwagon. Come on, you can all get a membership. I get it banging like November 5th. And I was born with it. So you should blame your parents if you're less equipped. Whatever, blood. Just don't hate me. Cause my notes on the rise like do re me. I raise do till my do raise me. I flow crazy. That weak shit you dealing with it, so ain't me. I'm the future, blood, ahead of time. My thoughts are Pentium processed, and your brain's a 16-bit mega drive. The 16s I spit forever live. I damage a challenger. Probably be better if you never tried. So jog on, get a life, get a job, get a wife. Here on in, you in the rap game, sever ties. You better ride a different story. Cause going against me, you coming up short like midget orgies.
Hilarious, man.
What, yeah, Mark, you've got another
You got another one?
I can carry on with that story if you want. Like, that's about it.
You guys were well prepared for today, weren't you?
All right, so verse two. I'm working through a way to say a word or two to Amy. She's insanely fit but stuck in holy servitude. Now, I like another version who didn't have a faith to persecute, but every time I close my eyes, her face is burning through. It's like a firebrand. So I devised a plan. I headed out one Sunday wearing smarter jeans, tie and cap. A couple of people stared as I walked in uninvited, and I stood where she could see me in the middle of her Bible camp. I watched them as the choir chanted, clutching at their diaphragms, frightened by each crying man, appealing for a higher plan. After I sat by a nan, smiling over sliced up ham, denying flan, lying up, my family all lived by the man. I was happy with the lies I span. To me, it was a game. I gave more fiction than a writer can, but when it was the two of us, my mouth became as dry as sand. I couldn't say a thing. I just stood there dumb as silence rang. I don't know what happened. I just knew I couldn't speak. Went home thinking that I'd have to go another week, and for over 2 years, I went back to that church. I hung out with Amy, didn't say many words. They let me stand in that room with them, never joined in communion. When it came to their God, I didn't have much to do with them, but it wasn't the loony bin that we'd all been alluding to. When I watched them, I took on all the things that they were doing. They stood out at the store, collected cans for the poor. They helped mums raise funds for refugees from the war, and they made me feel welcome. It felt good when I helped them. At times I raged against them, they still answered my questions, and the more I kept going, the more the pieces fit. I saw that Amy wasn't thin, right? Amy was sick. Really sick, for years refusing to eat in an effort to impress stupid guys just like me. She couldn't get rid of that image. We were after her flesh showing bone, her skin pale as plaster. And each Sunday I watched as she sat there in view, getting weaker each week, fading away in the pew. Her parents prayed harder than the rest of the room. Last week she was there, I even prayed too, and I kept thinking throughout, why inflict this disease? Why put it on her? Why not someone like me? Why strike down a believer? There's no sensible reason. I mean, what kind of being would offer that treatment? Her final week there, I sat watching her pray, trapped in her seat, silent drip on her frame. And while I liked all these people, it just seemed insane. I figured us and our God should take shares in the blame. The next week she was admitted, a quarter year stay. I never saw her again. The family all moved away, and I think of her a lot, and I hope that she's okay and isn't with someone who was like me back in the day. So fair play to all faiths. I gave it a try, and I've always got time for you if it's what you've decided. If you told me there's a God, I wouldn't say that you're lying. I just say that in my mind he's about as shit as I am.
Very nice.
So like this Philippines thing, how I'm baffled about how are you going to battle somebody in they're rapping in Russian or in Filipino?
Oh, okay, Tagalog is there.
How does that work?
Well, actually, apparently only 45% of the population speak Tagalog, but in education they learn in English.
Oh, so they battle in English.
So they
there.
Do also battle in English, and Looney has battled one guy in English from like Disaster from the States. He's never battled someone from Britain before, but the whole battle will be in English. So I'm going to try. I want to learn some Tagalog when I get over there. My main issue is the crowd.
Don't say that. They're going
to... Oh, yeah, yeah.
Give them away your secrets.
I don't know. Like, I feel like the crowd is the big thing. Like trying
in
to get
terms
the
of what doing, okay.
Because like he's huge over there. He's
so when you say huge, and someone's asked like, how big is the scene in Philippines? Like when you say huge, what kind of views is he getting?
I mean, Rome, would you? Rome, I'd say it's bigger in the Philippines than it is anywhere else in the world. To be honest,
battle rap in general.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Serious.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is that? Why Philippines?
Was that? I mean, there's a amount of people there, no?
No, absolutely not.
But
idea.
I think also it's curious from how massive hip hop is in the Philippines. I mean, you have a massive b-boy community out there as well. So it's like I don't understand why fully, but I mean,
yeah, I honestly, I wish I had like the definitive answer, but it's just it is humongous.
I know they have a big dance tradition in Philippines, so that's what I always put down the interest in b-boy into. But yeah, I never knew that the battle rap thing
was the top 10 most viewed rap battles in the world are all flip top battles.
And the funniest thing about it is, I remember before they started, well, obviously, battle rap has been out there forever, but I mean, before they started filming them for YouTube, I remember the guy that runs the league out there posting on a forum we used to use and being he was like, hey, so I've been watching Don't Flop and loads of the other leagues, and I really like what you're doing, and I was just wondering if I could have any advice on how to start my own thing.
Really?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then so what was a year later, advice?
I was like,
yeah,
damn, boy.
What did you tell him?
I can't remember. This is honestly like 7-8 years ago. It's quite a while ago. And it was literally just a post on a forum. I just remember it quite clearly because I don't think anyone took it seriously. And then now they're the biggest league in the world.
Yeah. And we're all like, battle, like put the fire up on Facebook and it got like 12,000 likes.
Yeah, they get
like
2,000. They get what, you know, 1500, 2,000 people come to the event.
I'm talking about doing like a youth workshop. Yeah, somewhere. Yeah. Like
15,000.
No, what, like 1500 to 2,000. Like it's like it's just. And the funny thing is, it took off so quickly. Mm. Like it wasn't like it gradually grew. They launched their league, and it just everybody in the Philippines took to it straight away. Yeah. Quicker than I've ever seen it happen.
And Looney is like the king of Ryan. They call him over there. Like he's.
Yeah, he's the Don.
Yeah.
And we're nearly out of time, though, but what's the links? Like, how can people track you down if they want to catch up with what you're doing in the Philippines?
Okay, they
want
to see what
project.
I'm up to. Like, at Monte Cristo is my Twitter handle. I mean, otherwise, I guess, like, yeah, just kind of follow that. I don't know, like, a lot of it's going to be, we're going to be filming it, and then we'll have to get all the other episodes together before it gets released. And people can see.
And so, when can they look forward to seeing some of this series? Then your Battle of Monte Cristo.
No idea.
When did you? So you said you started a year and a half ago. Or
yeah.
Like. What were you doing then? What were you filming? Or just putting the ideas together?
I was just kind of pitching it to them. Otherwise, I was like touring, like comedy shows, poetry shows, stuff like that. Kind of like.
Okay.
Tony, how can people track you down if they want to keep up or catch you maybe this Saturday? What are the links?
You can catch me on Twitter at Tony D Poison. That's just normal. And if you want to look into me battles, go on to Don't Flop. I've got loads of them on there. Just put in Tony D Versus and check out the Tony Smith Show album with my bridging Locksmith. That's out now on iTunes and the rest of it and whatever. And yeah,
and we're hoping you and Locksmith are going to come through to the studio sometime soon. You did stand me up a few months ago and I was a little bit hurt,
the next
but
time
I have
I
forgiven
the kids
you
in the cupboard.
Tony came
with some
bulletproof
just do that.
He was ready for it.
Rowan, what's the links like if people want to know more about Don't Flop? Maybe it's the first time they're hearing about it.
Yeah, if it's the first time you're hearing about it, it's just Don't Flop on everything. It's Don't Flop on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, anything relevant.
Just Don't Flop
just
in
don't
life.
Just Don't Flop on everything.
Yeah, just Don't Flop at all.
Thank you so much, all of you, for coming through to the show. It's lovely to have you here. Cool. Big up Red Bull, who were in the studio. Big up to Lewis Parker. Big up to Lewis Parker, who was here earlier. If you missed any of that, you definitely need to hit up foodbarradio.com/hiphop. Next week on the show, that's Monday, 4 p.m. with myself and Mice Diggy. We have Mike, Rez One, and Dutch Mob in the studio, and we're going to be interviewing the Artifact straight out of New Jersey, so definitely join us for that next week. And of course, as usual, we leave you with the right message from Rick James. And up next is our homies,
A Badge of Friendship, Bitches and Bitchettes. Good night.
The wrong one, but either way, I'll leave you with this message from Rex. I got the right to remain silent. I don't give a fuck when the government call you violent. I don't give a fuck. You don't give a fuck. We don't give a fuck. We don't need another brother killed on the corner with hands up. Heard another brother killed on the corner with hands up. Heard another brother killed on the corner with hands up. Heard another brother killed on the corner with hands up. Heard another brother killed on the corner with hands up. Man down, officer calling for backup. Fuck all these niggas, just shoot if they act up. Where is Nancy Grace when the police blast us? How come she mad? Cause they legalize weed, they legalize weed. Will prisons be gone next? Won't that affect your industrial complex? Prison scary to the military. Tell me Taliban can't kill me. Get me now, gon' kill them. Brainwashed children, the melting pot filled in. Conformity is normalcy, honor the enormous ignoramus in the office. Geppetto puppets will flourish if you now want the veil over eyes. Recognize, testify to the West of lies. Best disguise minds as devoted Christians, so the system can list them as future Democrats with no pot to piss in. Show cops respect, wink, wink, middle finger down. Wink, wink, middle finger them. Show cops respect. Wink, wink, middle finger them. I to America, eating in the interim. Keep me in the kitchen, come on and see a difference. I've been reading, I've been writing, I've been thinking. Been fighting for my freedom since a little tight speaking. Google got God thoughts of Mustafa as a better name than Christie. No diss to grandpa. Know what the truth is, history is ruthless. Two kids like me who go to bed nightly thinking what might be my origins. All of them other kids in class got A's for the last. The X in my past got me doubting what the books say. Teachers say, this our land, well, what the crooks say. What they tell you don't, you go believing them. Not in agreement when
We don't need another brother killed on the corner with hands up. Heard another brother killed on the corner with hands up. Heard another brother killed on the corner with hands up. Heard another brother killed on the corner with hands up. Heard another brother killed on the corner with hands up.
This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.